much about.
Okay, here's the deal. It's crazy boring. It lasts forever. You're going to wish you were dead.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Now is the time to heed the timeless advice from Teddy Roosevelt. Speak softly and carry a big stick. End of quote. I promise you, the president has a big stick. I promise you.
That man has the largest penis I have ever seen. I was distracted by the largest penis I have ever seen.
Hey, don't do that. Don't look like that and talk like that. It makes my wiener feel weird.
And now.
The testicles are like the ears of the genital system. They serve a very important function, but they're not that great to look at.
Our feature presentation.
I beg to differ.
Oh, really?
Really? That's what
are
you beg to differ with?
I'm saying. Pretty nice sack.
I find that hard to believe based on the parts of your body we can see.
How dare you?
It would seem a surprise to me if there was one area that that got unscathed that wasn't affected by the fire.
Please.
Hey, it's the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's Wednesday. We had Willa Ford, very pretty actress Willa Ford, on the program last week. Kevin, I think you were out. I think you missed Willa.
Yeah, unfortunately.
She pretty,
yes,
by the way.
Very.
She's on that TV show Magic City, and we talked briefly about this with her, but now I've read an interview with the casting director for Magic City. Now, this is a show that is on the Starz network, and it is set in 1959 Miami. Ralph loves this show. It's getting pretty good reviews, too.
I like it, yeah.
And this interview with the casting director says one of the things that we talked to Will about, which is it has been almost impossible for them to find all the extras necessary for that show. And some of those scenes, you know, set in casinos and set in the street and set on the beach and things like that. Some of those scenes are involve a lot of people. But they can't find women without fake boobs. They're looking for people to be on the show, but this is pre-plastic surgery, this kind of plastic surgery.
I don't remember pre-plastic surgery.
The casting director says, I've actually had better luck finding synchronized swimming groups than I have finding real boobs. They literally go down the street looking for women to be on this show now because they can't do casting calls anymore. They put out these casting calls that say things like, girls had fuller figures back then, no skinny models, all natural only, no plastic surgery, no breast implants. And they could barely find anyone to be on the show.
Wow.
Isn't that hilarious?
Wow.
And you know what else they were talking about was her tattoos? And she doesn't have a lot, but covering them is difficult.
Sure.
And I guess some of it they have to do post-filming,
exactly right. In fact, the casting director goes on to say that there's a long list. It's more than just boobs, too. It's all sorts of other implants, plastic surgery on your lips, butt implants, shaved chests. Didn't have it back then. Waxed bikini areas. Females that are too skinny. Men who are too ripped. Apparently a different kind of bodybuilding is in vogue now.
That's why they turned me down.
And yes, they talk about the tattoos also. They say, you know, they've been going to burlesque clubs because they're looking for those more fuller figures. But almost all of them have tattoos. And they basically just have to, you know, have to blot them out in post, like you said, Lisa.
Wow. Right, which is expensive and takes a lot of time.
Exactly. We need girls with big hips and curves, and down here everybody is so fit. It's like tiny little waists and big boobs, but we have to be really careful about how we go about the casting process. It's a huge challenge. Now, my takeaway from this article is I need to move to Miami.
Yeah, no kidding.
Nothing but tiny little waists and big boobs.
It's plastic city.
Yeah.
So anyway, it is...
I need to be the casting director for that show, just walking up and down the streets.
Well, it sounds like it's a lot of work. It sounds like they put an awful lot of effort.
I don't mind working hard at that.
That kind of job you'll actually do something
for? I'm just saying. I would put some effort into that, yeah.
Well, it's pretty fun. And they say that, you know, if they accidentally let somebody on the screen who doesn't look like she should have looked in 1959, that they're going to hear about it. They're going to get strongly worded letters from fans saying, hey, wait a minute. Her nose was obviously fixed or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So. Anyway, good times.
No plastic surgery. Come on now.
Yeah.
Get with the times.
These are actors we're talking about.
I know. That's not possible. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Goddamn son of a bitch.
It's a little harsh. You haven't heard it. Garbage is going to be in studio. Very excited about
that. Get out of here, you flies.
Oh, man, you make me want to hear that whole thing now. I have to hear that whole thing now.
We don't have time for you to hear the whole thing.
I have to, though. Yes, we have
no more.
We have time. We have time right now to hear the whole thing.
I got to read it again because my mind is just a piece of this morning.
It's been a while since we've enjoyed Winnebago Man.
Come on, play it.
Aren't you looking for it right now? Or is Beer Mug just standing there with his thumb in his butt?
Yes.
No, we thought you had it at your fingertips because you were playing clips from it. I thought.
Yeah, I just have little clips. Let me see. I might have the whole thing.
Winnebago Man. Oh, that was so good. Love that guy so much. He's my dad.
You know what I mean? Really?
He should be, yeah. I mean, he's not like my dad, but he certainly seems like me old.
Yeah. Cranky, angry. Yeah.
Can't get anything right. You know, the whole deal. On the program today, we also have Ryan Scheckler.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Scheckler is calling in. He's got a benefit that he'd like to tell you about. We've got Adam Carolla. With This Week in Rage. It's quite a tribute you guys do to him every time I mention his name. That's nice.
Sure, he likes it.
That's very nice. The Lamar and Chloe show is on hold, people.
What are we going to do?
We're going to burn this mother down. That's what we're going to do. So we'll investigate that a little bit. We have, we have the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices on today's program.
Oh. What does the goddamn line say, Tony? What is the goddamn line?
We have the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices today.
Here we go again. We can't hear anybody. Nobody can talk to anybody.
And we also have your tickets in the pit for the 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta.
The accoutrement that you will need. Accoutrement? What is that? It's going to be very hot.
Right.
Going to be very uncomfortable for everybody. Want anybody yelling? We get anybody yelling around here anymore today, and then the is going to hit the fan.
Oh, sounds like trouble.
Says the guy yelling. I love that so much.
Of course, yes.
What a great movie. What a great guy. What a great video.
We got flies all over the place. Son of a bitch. Get out of here, you flies. There's a fly over the headlight, Tony.
The Winnebago concept.
Flies coming for us. Out of here, you flies. We got three flies. Five flies. Get out of here, you goddamn jackass.
I think we have time. I got the whole thing now.
Oh, now? Well, Beer Mug is certainly speedy.
Here's what happened, Bede. He stepped up. He did a search, found nothing.
Right.
Because he misspelled it. And then,
of course,
walked to the back of the room. He was like, well, we don't have it.
I'm done, right.
So I called him back up.
And I thought about saving that kid from the burning building, but then the window was closed, so I couldn't do it, so I just gave up.
So I called him back up, and I was like, I'm pretty sure we have it. And so he typed in Winnebago again, and there was like five different things that we have of it. So this is Winnebago Man.
The Winnebago Concepts and Engineering Departments have developed a multifunctional bathroom. Privacy, I don't even know what the f*** I'm reading. I wonder what the f*** the real dialogue is. What the f*** is this thing? All of the windshield, for f*** sake.
Oh, f***. What? What the f*** did I say?
Oh, f***.
Hey, we got flies all over the place.
This guy is so great because he's doing this commercial for Winnebago and just can't get any of it right. And he wrote it all, by the way.
Yep.
He wrote
he
the script.
He did write all that?
Yeah, so every time he's angry at what the word is or the choice of wording.
What it means.
It's on him.
And I remember when the video first came out and they made a documentary about it called Winnebago Man that you should definitely seek out because it's hilarious. I mean, this happened. They filmed this years ago and then this guy became an internet sensation when it went out. But we used to say that this was Kevin's future. And then sadly, his future arrived.
It's already here. Yeah.
Now it's his present.
Son of a bitch. Get out of here, you flies.
Get out of here, flies. I'm very tired.
There's a fly over the headlight, Tony.
Oh, Tony.
We got flies coming for us.
Out of here, you flies.
We got three flies. Five flies. Get out of here, you goddamn jackass. I gotta read it again because my mind is just a piece this morning. I can't make my mind work. I'm blinded by that hot light. Goddamn son of a bitch. What do you mean, one? I'm gonna fall off the thing. Just keep running. Bullshit. I'm gonna slate this. All right, I haven't got time to mark this mother. Here we go again. We can't hear anybody. Nobody can talk to anybody. Well, turn the thing off, you dumbass. Man, I'd like to kick your head in. Not even funny anymore. Son of a bitch! Jesus Christ. Son of a bitch. Jesus Christ. Son of a bitch. Jesus Christ. Oh, son of a bitch.
It's weird because really there's little things going wrong. There's some flies in the scene or he forgets the word or whatever, the description that he's very unhappy with.
a giant meltdown.
He's having a giant meltdown.
Everything.
Over really almost nothing.
I like how he goes through phases where he's angry at himself, then he's angry at everybody else.
Angry
and then
at Tony. Poor Tony, man.
Poor Tony. Poor Tony. Yeah. And then he just kind of accepts what's going on, and then he goes into that deep depression where he just can't. He's just shaking his head. He's like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I can't. I don't know what's going on. I can't do it. I mean, he just has lost the will to live at some point, but still has to finish the video.
Jesus Christ. What the hell's the line? Can't remember the goddamn line. The accoutrement that you will need. Accoutrement? What is that? I don't know. It's just all gone. I get so goddamn diuretic when I sit here. My mouth just never stops.
Ain't worth it. Not this. It ain't worth it.
It ain't worth it. It just ain't worth it.
The Mini Winnie, part of American tradition. And today, on the cutting edge of design and function in a Class C motorhome. You believe any of that?
Ah, the great Winnebago, man. All right, we'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Good morning, Ralph Garman.
By all accounts, we're talking about the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Lindsay Lohan was on her best behavior, but then immediately when she returned to New York City, started just a party just out of her head.
Yeah.
New York Post reports she went out to a nightclub the following night after the Correspondents' Dinner with two male friends. They're tight. Just partied through the evening. Did not leave the club until 5 a.m., they say. So Lindsay enjoying herself, having a good time out there in the Big Apple. I'm sure she's researching for her role as Elizabeth Taylor. Sure. That's what she's doing.
Well, Elizabeth Taylor used to do that.
That's right. You're absolutely right, Kevin. She had a severe alcohol and substance abuse problem of her own. So there you go. And she liked the gay fellas. Elizabeth did.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
She liked to party. She liked to dance. Up until the end of her life, they wheel her into the Abbey there in West Hollywood. She'd have martinis with some of the
fellas. Are you joking?
There. No.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She would show up to gay bars in West Hollywood all the time, just drink martinis and party with the kids and just have a blast. So,
Lindsay's make your homes airtight.
Lindsay's just living the life, that's all.
Sure.
No one else is living the life. Tiger Woods. Apparently he was in Vegas last Saturday.
Yeah.
At the Aria Resort and Casino. And he had a little private cabana there by the pool.
Yeah.
Witnesses say a frenzy of bikini-clad ladies were desperate to get inside his cabana to hang out with Tiger and his friends.
I'm sure.
What happened?
Yeah. Isn't it amazing that the phenomenon of men who can be really just reprehensible to their wives and or girlfriends?
Right.
Yep.
And yet women still will show up in droves to get a piece of that.
What's that about, they did, Lisa? Probably. More than they would have, right, you know, normally.
Well, I mean, it's the fame.
He's
obviously
a baller.
It's the fame and the money, and I think he has a certain reputation now.
I bet you, like Kevin's saying, though, he gets more attention now from women than he did when he was supposedly a faithful, happy, married man, even though he was just as famous and just as rich, perhaps even more so,
right,
before the divorce.
Well, now you think he's a goer.
I think men are goers.
No, but yeah, but some are better goers than others.
I think there's the edge of, you know, a little like he's a bad boy now.
Right.
Before he was sort of milquetoast and boring.
Yeah.
No, I'm a bad boy.
Yeah.
I really am. I'm just a bad boy here in my cabana.
I was unfaithful. I had affairs.
Yes,
I cheated.
I did.
Airtight.
I am bad. I'm a bad boy. Anyone want to come into my bad boy cabana?
Nadia Suleiman, Octomom,
yep,
has filed for bankruptcy. She's bitching about the fact that she's having to do solo porn just to feed her children.
That's not porn, Ralph.
But at least she's got thin thighs.
Uh-oh.
Turns out Radar Online did some investigating. They find out that she drops over $500 a year on her gym membership at Total Woman Gym and Day Spa.
Does she use it?
Apparently she does.
Just to get away from the kids?
But people are speculating perhaps she could cut back on some unnecessary budgetary issues if she's concerned about the fact that she's on welfare and can't feed her children.
Did you see how much she paid for a haircut?
I did not see that, Lisa.
About $250.
What
because
the what?
The woman came to her home.
Yep.
Well, Lisa,
and then that woman
reported
her
leave.
For child abuse.
You can't leave all those 15 kids home
That's
alone.
That's absolutely true.
You have to have someone come and do
Wait,
it.
Wait, the woman went to her house, cut her hair, and then reported her for child abuse.
So she looked around, looked like Dunkirk after the war, I'm sure, and went to the authorities.
Yep.
Yeah, it's crazy times. We live in the crazy times, people.
We do.
This was the woman who reported that none of the toilets worked in the house and that the kids had to go poop in the yard or something,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, but authorities went in and went, yeah, it's not that bad.
Nah, I've seen worse.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Who hasn't pooped in a yard?
Carry on, Octomom. Deadline.com is reporting that the Two and a Half Men stars, Ashton Kutcher and John Cryer, are just inches away from re-signing their contracts for a 10th season of the show.
Is it doing better now?
The ratings were fine.
They're fine?
They weren't as good as when Sheen was there, but still, it was a top 10 hit for CBS, so they would like to return for another season. Ashton Kutcher reportedly getting, if he signs this deal, around $700,000 an episode.
That's like a 3 to 4 day week, though, Ralph.
That's true. That's a good point.
That's not me.
Angus T. Jones, the kid, the half man.
Yeah, the half.
He pulls in around $300,000 an episode.
He's more like three quarters of a man now.
Yeah, apparently.
And wouldn't that show be exactly the same if he weren't on it?
Absolutely, yes. You could replace him with anybody. Beer Mug could step in.
Yeah.
And nobody would say, hey, what happened to the kid on Two and a Half Men?
Kid doesn't look so good.
Oh, come on. Why is the kid 50?
At a fire last night at Tyler Perry Studios in Atlanta, CNN is reporting there were no injuries, but there were more than 100 firefighters on the scene.
Wow.
Yeah. People are speculating Tyler Perry set the fire himself just to get 100 firefighters on the scene. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'll be here all week. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Christine Baranski. I don't know if you're watching The Good Wife. If you're not, you're a fool. One of the best shows on television. This season has been remarkable. And she's been great on it. 60 years old today. Wrestler turned actor The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, is 40 years old. Soccer player David Beckham. Hello, I'm David Beckham. It's my 37th birthday. I'm going to go to Burger King and order something for a commercial.
They were on the kiss cam at the Lakers game last night.
Oh, were they? Oh.
We saw him kissing a woman last night, oh, Ralph. So I don't know what you're suggesting.
I think he's 100% heterosexual, but that voice.
That
wow.
voice.
Oh,
yeah.
That voice.
Deal breaker.
It's soft.
Oh, he is not manly. Jenna Von Oy. She played Six on Blossom, 35 years old today.
Is she a Belle?
She's cute. She's cute, yeah. I'd give her a Belle. Ellie Kemper from The Office. She's cute, too.
Oh, yeah.
She's 32 years old today. Lily Allen, pop singer. She's really cute. She's 27 years old. And actor Robert Buckley celebrates his 31st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
What a show we have for you today, including our friend Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. Also, skater Ryan Scheckler on the program today. And... boy, it's been years since Garbage was here, but Butch and Shirley from the band Garbage are here a couple of weeks ahead of their new record coming out and just a few days ahead of their appearance at this weekend's Weenie Roast. Very excited.
And we're going to world premiere another one of their new songs off this CD. How about that?
Nice.
Nice delivery. Although you faded. I think you needed to bring it to a climax.
I did. All right, let's turn our attention now to a sensation down in the South Bay. I guess in, is it Bolsa Chica? Is that where it is?
Aren't we doing the wheel? Yes. We don't know where it's going to land.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
We
heard any of that.
We just went through that whole thing. We just talked about it during that song.
I wasn't paying the tiniest bit of attention
Hey, guys,
to that.
We have a wheel, and there are a lot of animal stories on it.
Oh,
and
like
it could
what?
Land on any of them.
Right, we'll spin it, and it'll land on any of them. The Olay, the dog that survived an avalanche.
I hope that's the one it lands
on. We have Toto, the tornado kitten.
Mm-hmm. Toto's the best.
We have the Icelandic worm monster.
Yeah.
We have the Bolsa Chica bully dolphin.
Never heard of that.
We have Houdini, the Australian runaway goat. We have the albino cyclops shark. We have the doomsday prepper's survival kitty. We have the badass super soldier ants. And we have Harvey Dent, the two-faced kitten. Okay?
All right. Let's spin the wheel. Let's find out which one it lands on today.
No.
No, you play the theme first and then you spin the wheel.
Oh, dear God. I'm going to leave.
It's time for the... Yeah! Where do you think it's gonna land?
No.
It's gonna be pretty bad. But Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices.
A thousand times we've done this bit. We still know how it works.
Hey, it landed on the Bolsa Chica bully dolphin. What are the chances of that?
That's unbelievable.
Let's turn our attention to the South Bay.
What is this story, Kevin? I do not know anything about it.
A lone dolphin has spent the past 5 days swimming in the Bolsa Chica wetlands in Southern California, may be the victim of bullying.
No.
They have had television crews down there on this dolphin. I guess it's attracting quite a crowd with people are going out there just watching it, taking pictures of herself. But, I mean, it's potentially going to die if it's out there and doesn't join its mates out in the ocean, right?
No, apparently they got swimmers, and they got paddle boards, and they tried to lead it out to the ocean, and some of the other dolphins gave it the the stink eye, and then it turned around and went back into the wetlands. And they're like, you got to get out there in the ocean. But apparently it's been bullied.
Aww.
What's the problem with, why are they turning on this dolphin? What's wrong with it?
Is it fat? How do I know? If we had somebody who could tell us the answer to these questions, we would go to them now.
Apparently, the Bolsa Chica dolphin is on the phone with us here on the Kevin Levine Show right now. Hi there, dolphin.
Hello.
Hi. What's your name?
My name's Fred.
Fred.
Hi,
okay.
Fred. What's going on out there? Why aren't you running and playing with the other dolphins right
what's
now?
What's going on in there, more importantly, I'd have to ask you.
That's a better question.
That's the
excellent
worst
question.
Setup I've ever heard for anything.
It failed on every level, but other than that,
I can't deny we are weak. But we're concerned about you because...
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that because I get bullied a lot.
You do.
Yes.
What do you think that's about?
I don't know, but the other dolphins are mean.
Well, you're a little whiny. Might
they
be that.
They make fun of my blowhole.
Oh, do they?
Yes, saying it's too small.
Right.
But I think my blowhole is just right.
Okay. But eventually you're just going to have to ignore the bullies and go back out into the ocean. You know that, right?
But I can't because they gave me the stink eye.
Right. That's what I heard. Now, that's an official.
That's what I heard, too.
Zoological term, right?
What the hell does that mean?
Come on now. Now, apparently you are...
You guys are still on the radio after all these years.
That's true.
I know.
I
know.
Hear this all day.
Oh, that is funny.
Apparently, the director of the Marine Animal Rescue said that dolphins can be very aggressive toward each other. They are not the sweet, loving, gentle animals portrayed in the movies and cartoons. Is that so?
No, it's absolutely true. Dolphins are the mafia of the ocean.
I did not
find that hard to believe.
No, they do. They swim around the swim creatures and collect protection money.
Oh, is that right?
You have to give them like 50 clams or else they'll burn down your mollusk house.
How do they burn down your mollusk house? How
not
does that,
easy to set a fire in underwater, the ocean,
right?
But they're
no.
committed in that way.
Wow, they're good.
Yes.
It sounds like it.
If you're a mollusk, you don't want your house being burnt down, so you'll pay them any price.
Sure. That's what I've heard, yes. So, Fred, what's the end game here? What do you think you're going to do? You can't live where you're living forever.
Why not?
Well, because it's just, it's not healthy for you. You need to get back out there in the ocean and be social.
People are feeding me fish here.
Right.
In Costa Chica.
Right, because they don't want you to die, but eventually...
Right, so I won't die because they're feeding me.
Okay, so your plan is just to stay there forever?
Yes, it's very nice here, and the women are very attractive in Huntington Beach.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true.
I hope they'll come out to swim, and I will tear their bikinis off and assault them.
Well, I can't find any reason to object to that.
I mean, I may be a victim of bullying, but I'm still a dude.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That is one of the bands playing the 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta, which is this Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday already. Coldplay, of course, is going to be headlining. Incubus on the bill. The Offsprings, Silver Sun Pickups, Angels and Airwaves, Dirty Heads, Garbage, a bunch of bands on the Bud Light stage Dose. Go to KROQ.com throughout the week to get details on set times and what we're going to be doing from the broadcast. Oh, yeah, there's a little band called Pennywise playing as well. But apparently none of the Kevin and Bean listeners have ever heard of Pennywise. Because we've been trying to give away tickets for the past week with a variety of games. And Pennywise Brohim, maybe their most popular song, is always one of the choices in the games that we play. Yet for some reason, our listeners are never able to come up with the title and artist of that song. What do you think that's about?
I don't know. We can't. Look, if it were up to me, I'm the type of person who would go, oh, yes, of course, I've heard that song. I don't know the name.
Right.
But usually the listeners that call in for this type of game are pretty good at it. How is it possible? It's mind-boggling. The Brohim by Pennywise isn't a giveaway.
Right. Because it's the only song that we play that goes, oh, for about a minute, okay?
It goes something like that, sure.
That's the part of the song that we're always... So look, here's what we decided to do. Because we love Pennywise and we're so excited that they're on the bill and they're going to be doing that song, we thought, let's make it impossible for you to not know that the answer is Brohim. And therefore, that's what this game is called on the
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. The answer is Brohim. The answer is Brohim. The answer is Brohim. You get what we're saying? The answer is Brohim. 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 Don't be a dumbass. The answer is Brohim. The answer is Brohim. The answer is Brohim.
All right, so let's try this out. Beer mug, for instance, if I were to say, hey, what's the answer to the question that I'm asking you, what would the answer be?
Brohim!
Right. Okay. Does everybody have it now? Does everybody understand what the
Muggs
answer is?
Yeah, if Muggs has it, come
right,
on.
That's why I went to him, because I figured if he can get it, anyone can get it. All right, Kevin, why don't you line me up with some contestants
right
here, and we'll see how they do.
Let's start with Chris. Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
Hey, welcome
good
to
morning.
The Answer is Brohim.
Good luck. Chris, listen up. We're going to start with an audio clue. We tried this a few days ago. Our listener did not get it. We were playing the game Omaroki, where Omar sings the popular K-Rock hits of the day. Listen up.
He sang the song Brohim by Pennywise.
Sort of. Thank you.
Oh, dear God.
So, all right, I can see how they got that one wrong.
Chris, what's the answer?
Brohim.
Oh, yes!
He got it! Thank God.
Unbelievable.
All right, you are in the drawing. Lisa May will pick somebody to win coming up at the end of the segment. Who's next?
We have Matt next. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Guys,
listen up.
Doing?
We're good.
The answer is Brohim.
Here's your question, Matt. Listen up. This Pennywise song has been a popular anthem at sports stadiums and arenas in recent years, being played at the Jacksonville Jaguars NFL games, San Jose Quakes MLS games, and the Anaheim Ducks NHL games, just to name a few. What song is it?
I'm going to go with, I think it's Brohim.
Nice. Nice. I didn't think you were going to get it for a second.
These are the
I
smart
was a little
listeners.
Bit nervous, too.
The answer is Brohim.
Let's move along to Patrick. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Kevin and Beanie, the man. How you doing this morning?
Well, we're doing well. It's a shame that we have to make the game quite so easy, but we weren't going to get a winner any other way.
Well,
so
I know exactly what you're talking about. I've been listening all week.
You have, right?
I wanted to jump to the crazy to the radio and strangle these guys.
Right,
right?
When they don't get it, you go out of your mind, right?
Yes.
All right.
Well, then you heard a few days ago when we were playing Mumford the Hits. This is where Mumford from the Mumford and Sons band tries to get listeners to identify songs. Here's the song that we were looking for an answer for.
Laugh a minute was only beginning. Jason Matthew Fisk, this one's for you. Whoa.
Sounds nothing like that, Mumford. All right, Tylen Artis, what is it?
All right, Tylen Artis, what is it?
Oh, my God. Is that Pennywise Brohim?
Yes!
Yes!
Right! The answer is Brohim.
Our listeners are on fire today. Yeah, this is great. They've gotten every single one of them right. All right, we got time for a couple more. Who's our next contestant?
Our next is Jason. Hi, Jason.
Hey, good morning, guys.
All right, Jason, listen up.
Hold
this is
on.
A tough one.
I got to give you a clue, okay?
Okay.
The answer is Brohim.
All right.
This is a tough one. Listen up. We're going deep into the catalog here for this question. The band Pennywise originally recorded this song for their first album that came out in 1991. Then they re-recorded it with some different lyrics for the Full Circle record 6 years later. Name that popular Pennywise song.
Wait, before you answer.
The answer is Brohim.
All right.
All right, the answer would have to be Brohim.
That's correct.
Yes! Yes! Nicely done. Oh, this is going so much better than the games we played earlier this week and last
All right,
week.
Let's try. I hate to push our luck because so far we got a perfect record, but let's try one more contestant.
David?
Yes.
I'm guessing David's going to miss here, Bean.
David, a few days ago we did the Wheel of Celebrities. Maybe it was even yesterday.
It was.
And the great William Shatner stopped by with his version of a very popular K-Rock song. Here's the audio clue. Then you tell us what the title and artist is.
Wow. You were here. The fun was never ending. Laugh a minute was only beginning. Jason, my brother, this one's for you. Whoa. Oh, oh, oh. Whoa, oh, oh. Whoa. Oh. Oh!
Oh, man. I don't know.
I'll give you a hint. It's a Pennywise song. What's it called?
I'll give you a hint.
The answer is Brohim.
Is it
bro him?
Yes!
Yeah! The clean sweep!
That's incredible. All right, so Chris is in, Matt is in, Patrick is in, Jason is in, David is in. They all are qualified to win tickets in the pit for this weekend's Weenie Roast E-Fiesta. Lisa, who's our winner?
The winner is Matt.
Matt.
Yay!
All right, Matt, congratulations, you won. Matt? Hello?
Matt? The game was there going so small.
Matt?
Yes. Oh, my God, guys. Thank you so much. I can stop calling at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock.
Well,
yes,
you're welcome.
You
thank you for listening, and thank you for somehow identifying that song as Broham.
You guys are awesome.
You're
see
the best.
You guys there.
All right. The answer is Broham. The answer is
Broham. The answer is Broham. Got a lot of show coming up here on the Kevin and Bean program today, including Garbage stopping by. Also, Adam Carolla and skateboarder Ryan Scheckler. By the way, Porn for Women, Ralph Garman, Porn for Women.
Yes.
Website. We're talking to a woman who, that's the name of it, Shh, for a Woman.
What?
Women, yeah, she has created a website that provides porn for women. Now, I haven't been to the site yet. I'm going to do that in a minute. But is it
I bet you are, Sailor.
Of shoes or what is it? Is it actual like sex porn? Is that what she's talking about here?
I don't know what other kind of porn there is. But
yes,
well,
it's actual.
Usually porn involves sex.
It's erotica.
Okay.
It's erotica for women by women.
Well, we're going to talk to her and find out if she's gotten her first hit on that website yet, coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Hey, listen, Snarky Joe. I'll have you know that mommy porn is the new wave. It's the new sensation. It's sweeping the nation.
Is it now?
Yes. A little book called 50 Shades of Grey.
Mm-hmm.
And its subsequent sequels just sold to a major motion picture studio for the tens of millions of dollars for the rights to make the movie.
Lisa, have you read it?
I have not. I thumbed through
it. She lived it. She didn't need to read it. She's lived it. Beat me, whip me, daddy. I'm coming home.
A little old-fashioned for me.
Yeah, she's more advanced than that.
Yeah.
Lisa's into space porn.
She's into the story. I just read her off the air.
What the?
Oh, with the horse.
Oh, come on.
I wasn't going to say.
That's all I said, just the horse.
Thank you, Mr. Know-it-all.
Come on.
All right, time for the showbiz beat.
Scarlett Johansson.
Yes.
We'll be receiving her star on Hollywood's Walk of Fame this morning.
Oh.
How much do I have to pay to go down there?
For you, $7,000.
That's what I was afraid of.
But then don't go.
But then don't go. Actually, it's free. You can go down there and see her 11:30 this morning. She will be getting her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. It's happening right in front of Madame Tussauds Wax Museum at 6931 Hollywood Boulevard. Of course, it's no coincidence that she also appears in The Avengers, which opens up this weekend, stars as Black Widow in that film, but she's getting acknowledged for her entire body of work.
Ruff, she's still not a good actress, though, right?
She's great in The Avengers,
she's
though.
She's great in The
she's
Avengers.
Great.
Really?
Does
I saw it last night.
Does it take a lot of acting to be great? Or?
It does.
She's not great in movies where she does a lot of acting, I'll tell you that.
She does a lot of acting in this.
We're not arguing with you, Bean, but in this.
But I think sometimes it's even harder to ground a character that is so obviously fantastic as a comic book character. If you can make that real, if you can take that and ground it in reality, I really think that takes some doing, takes some skill, and she absolutely
does it.
Absolutely does it in this film. They all do. Mark Ruffalo, nobody better in the film than he is, by the way. But she's really good in this film.
I wouldn't necessarily say I'm a big fan of Hooters.
But she's she sure looks good, too.
She does.
She's got that going for her.
Yep.
What'd you think, Kevin? You saw it last night, is that what you said?
I thought it was fantastic.
Oh.
Good. It really kind of exceeds your expectations, which is rare.
So there you go. You looking forward to seeing another Wayne's World sequel?
Yeah!
Yeah! Party on! Excellent! Wayne's World! That's right, Garth. Let's make another movie, Garth.
That seems like a place in time, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Is it this time?
Mike Myers wants to bring back Wayne and Garth. This time, they're family men as parents. Wayne and Garth dealing with their kids and also still hosting their own show on the internet.
That's a terrible idea.
Okay, excellent.
Oh, man.
Come on, Wayne and Garth!
I know, but it's movies like this that every person who can't do impressions does.
Ah,
it's driving you crazy.
Excellent.
See, you can do it. But most people can't, and they still try. And
party on, Garth.
Ugh.
Come on. It'd be a good
same
time.
Same thing with
it?
Do I Make You Horny? Same thing. All Mike Myers movies.
Behave.
All Mike Myers movies.
He has created a lot of catchphrases that Mike Myers has. And it looks like Ashton Kutcher and John Cryer are close to making their deal with CBS to return to Two and a Half Men for a 10th season. And why wouldn't they? Pulling in almost $1 million an episode. They'd be silly not to. Wouldn't they?
Yes, they would be.
I think they would, too. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Pop singer Lily Allen celebrates her 27th birthday today. Ellie Kemper, who's on The Office. She plays the receptionist on that show.
I like her a lot.
She's adorable. She's also in Bridesmaids. Did a very good job in that show. 32 years old. Jenna Von Oy from Blossom is 35 years old. David Beckham turns 37 years old. Dwayne Johnson celebrates his 40th birthday. And Christine Baranski of The Good Wife over there on CBS. She turns 60. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
So excited about Garbage coming in later on today.
Mm-hmm.
I loves me some Shirley Manson. Don't you guys?
I do, too.
And Butch Vig, yep. Just a genius.
Well,
just
I don't know
genius.
Anything he's done, but she's an accomplished lead singer.
Well, the new record comes out in about 2 weeks. They'll be playing the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta this Saturday. We're very excited. Garbage joins us later here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Definitely you want to stick around for that. Ralph, you brought this story to our attention. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Angela Roundtree before we get to her?
Well, there's a lot of talk these days about erotica for women. Porn for women by women. And it's been sparked largely by this phenomenon that has been the book 50 Shades of Grey, which is
a sensation, right?
A sensation. And it's got the moniker mommy porn has been slapped on it because I think more and more women who are either moms or perhaps stay-at-home wives, or they are reading erotica, they are enjoying it more. And this has traditionally been a male-oriented, male-dominated field. It's been thought for a long time that men are the primary consumers of pornography and that women are less interested in that. And I think this proves that there's a market out there for women. Now, I don't think it's the same as it is for men, but there seems to be a market out there. And Angela Roundtree has developed Shh.com, which is erotica by women for women. And oh, and there's a little music in the
Hello.
Background.
I don't know what that was. Now she comes out with her own entrance music. I like that.
Good morning, Angela.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Isn't porn for women just what the rest of us would call boring porn?
No. It's just as erotic and sensual as, well, it's erotic and sensual as compared to what you would probably term as porn.
Okay, right, because this is primarily, for years, porn has been designed to entertain men, and now with female porn, it's, what would you say, it's softer, it's more intellectual, it's more about imagination. What's the difference?
I would describe it as a romance novel come to life. So the love scene is a part of the storyline as opposed to the story.
Oh, so your website is the part of the porn I fast forward through.
How much?
Well, we actually have so much more than just movies, though, and we actually call them erotic featurettes.
Erotic featurettes.
Okay.
Erotic featurettes.
We definitely want to talk about the other stuff that's on the site, but just let me ask a couple questions on the film aspect. How Kevin's not lying when he says you fast forward through the stories in the porn, but in female erotica, how much story does a woman want before she's ready for the clothes to come off and the actual sex to begin?
No one's ever been able to answer that question, Bean.
No, women.
I'm going to attempt to answer
all right.
it.
Okay.
And with our movies or our featurettes, what we try to do is we try to have character development.
Yeah.
So that the viewer actually can connect to the character. There's a reason for the sex, and the sex is a part of the storyline, and then after the sex, the storyline continues.
Angela, aren't you running a risk, though, when you make a film like that? I mean, it's hard enough to present porn in a entertaining, successful way, but if you're writing actual dialogue and you're demanding actual performances of your actors, aren't you running the risk of ending up with some bad featurettes?
Because they're not necessarily actors.
Because it may not be the highest quality of acting and writing in the world of erotica, I've found.
Actually, our script writers are mainstream script writers.
Ooh, I see.
What about your actresses?
Well, no. I mean, I would love to get some mainstream actresses. I don't think that's going to happen
today or
tomorrow.
We would love that, too.
Yeah.
But what we actually do try to do is use real couples.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So a lot of our featurettes are starring real couples. They're married, and they just have that little bit of exhibitionist
you know, Gene.
And they have a built-in chemistry, which is probably appealing and translates on the screen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that they know how to interact with each other. And, you know, when that sex scene does happen, we don't have, like, the, you know, the basic five positions you'll see in a porn movie. And
right.
We ask them to make love, to do whatever they would do at home, and just to make it natural and normal.
You're not screaming out reverse cowgirl?
So, right. You got it. I wasn't going to say that. I didn't know if I could say that on the radio.
But do you have the...
The Houdini.
All right. Okay, we're not going to get into any of your sex positions, Kevin. Let me ask you this, Angela. Ralph brought up, and this is Angela Roundtree on the phone again. We're talking about her site, shforwomen.com, which is three S's and an H, shforwomen.com.
No, it's shh.com.
Oh, sorry, that's the Twitter. That's the Twitter, shforwomen. Okay, shh.com. Ralph brought up the 50 Shades of Grey. I think a lot of people in the mainstream news are surprised at how much bondage and kinkiness there is in that. It goes well beyond just, you know, what a lot of people would consider regular, normal, you know, sex. Is that also an aspect of your site, of shh.com, that women are interested in more these days, being tied up and things like that?
Yes, it is. We actually have a whole section that's kinky-based.
Well, I guess it was Secret Garden, that the book that kind of exposed the fact that women may not want to act these things out, but they have all kinds of wild fantasies when it comes to sex, right?
And that's what Shish is about. It's about fantasy. It's about making those fantasies, within reason, of course, come to life.
Arabian goggles.
All right. Okay. We don't have time for that.
All right. Angela, I was wondering, since men have been the primary consumers of porn and erotica for so long, is there a market out there that makes this website and others like it worth your while? Is this a viable financial business for you to get into?
Well, I think if it wasn't viable, we wouldn't be in it.
Well, I mean,
that's absolutely not true. That's 90% of business.
I mean, sometimes you take a shot and it turns out that the market isn't, the place isn't what you thought it was. I'm just wondering how you've been doing.
Well, we're doing okay, and actually in the last couple of years we've seen the popularity of Shush just increase. It's amazing, and after we were on ABC's Nightline, it was just, the response has been just fantastic. I mean, not just like traffic wise, but just people emailing us and asking questions and just having an interest and saying, you know, thank you for being there. We didn't even know you were there.
Roman helmet.
Stop. No, Kevin.
Hey,
no.
I can speak for me and say that if I want to watch porn with my boyfriend, I don't like male-centric porn. It's really a turn-off, and the girl's like, and it's stupid to me.
I'm sorry, what's the girl like?
They're just stupid.
The girl's doing a seagull impression? I don't understand.
Pretty much. That's pretty much how it is.
Is it not realistic enough, Lisa? Is that your problem with the male-centric
porn? And it just goes on and on and on. And like you said, of course you fast-forward through the story, because there's no story. There's no point in it. But this is something that I
actually watched with a partner. There is a story. There's a pizza boy ringing the doorbell.
Yeah.
With the pizza, and the girl going, oh, I know what I'm going to do with you.
Did you order extra sausage?
Team bagging.
Angela, let me ask you this.
Sandy. Dolphin.
Most of the male-centric porn, as I guess we're calling it, tends to feature, you know, very young women who are very hot and very surgically enhanced sometimes. I'm wondering if shh.com has more natural-looking couples in it.
Well, we've got real couples in it.
Yeah,
but are they actors? I mean, aren't they performers?
No, we do have when we've done any kind of media appearance, I can't get my usual, like the usual group of couples that we use.
Right.
They don't want, you know, they've said to me that that's one thing being behind the safety of the membership area.
We'll have sex, but we're not
But I don't want to be, you know, splattered over, you know, prime time TV.
Hey, with that.
So
Tony,
at that point,
Dan,
yes,
Zah.
At that point, we will hire, you know, we will hire within the industry.
Right.
But we do look for certain things, which is, you know, not enhanced breasts.
I was wondering if women are just a little more tolerant of people who have a little bit more weight on them, for instance, or don't look like what we traditionally think of as being porn actors and actresses. That's all.
I have never had a complaint about any of the women or the men and how they look.
Gotcha.
Angry pirate.
Another question from me is, I've always heard that women they like to read stories more than they like to see visuals. Do you have a lot of that on the site too?
We do have a lot of stories on the site. Absolutely. We have a ton of stories on the site. We even have full novels on the site.
Wow.
And we have a lot of competitions too, where we'll say to the members, you know, send us your stories, and if we find one that we love, we'll make it into a movie.
I have a question.
Angry.
Okay.
Dragon.
Go ahead.
Cincinnati bow tie.
You want to star in one of our movies, right?
Do you do the Cincinnati bow tie? Is that involved in any of yours?
Angela, if we sign up for shh.com, do we get to see you naked too?
No, you don't.
Oh, you're not Angela. On it. Okay.
No, no. I keep my clothes on.
Angela, how long have you
I'm
been
the one
running?
Who cracks the whip here.
Yeah.
Oh, no. All right. Yeah, now we're getting somewhere. Now we're getting somewhere.
What's the one?
All right.
How long have you been running the site, Angela?
We started it in probably, the development started in 1999. And it went.
Wow.
You are not fast.
It's old. It's been up
been
for
around.
A while.
Because I, again, and I don't mean to wish you any ill will when it comes to success, but, you know, Playgirl isn't as successful as Playboy. I mean, there have been other companies who have tried to tailor make pornography for women, and they just haven't found the volume they need to support the industry. And I'm just wondering if that's changing.
I think the difference is, you know, it's really interesting that you brought that up. We do actually run another site called Wasteland.com, and it's a bondage site. And I would go to the trade shows, and I'd say, why isn't there anything for women?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, because women don't buy porn.
Right.
You know, and it's like, well, we've tried that, but it just didn't fly. Just sort of the same thing you just
right,
said.
Right, right.
And then I realized the people I was talking to were men. I was like, men haven't figured out women in 2,000 years. What's going to change now?
Right.
The answer,
so,
nothing.
You know, I went back to the office and I said to the girls, I said, look, why don't we do this? And then I phoned some friends and I said, you know, are you in? Like, I had to, you know, come up with script writers and you know, editors and article writers and, you know, and everybody was game and they all believed in the project. So
Boston.
Wow.
Pancake.
All right, Kevin, we get it.
So we just went ahead and did it, and I think that's what makes us a little different than everybody else is we really are for women by women.
Cleveland.
And it's like
Steamer.
And it's like what we want to see.
You sure.
Know, what we would enjoy. What would we spend money on? And Shush was the answer.
I am glad that we had the opportunity to have you on and introduce you to our listeners. If they want to check it out, it is shh.com, which is SSSH.com. I have a lot of trouble with the name of this website.
Yes,
I don't know if you guys can tell or not. And then shh for women is the Twitter account. Angela Roundtree has been our guest. Good luck with this, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you for the time.
Bye now.
Bye.
Hot.
Carl.
Obviously, you are running out of days. If you want to join us this weekend, Saturday is the sold-out 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta Cinco de Mayo. First time we've ever had the Weenie Roast on Cinco de Mayo, by the way. Like, it's not already enough of a party. It's going to be at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. We've got tickets for you every hour on the hour starting at 9 o'clock this morning and backstage passes as well. And one of the bands that's going to be playing is Garbage. They'll be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour here this morning on K-Rock as well.
And we'll be world premiering another one of their brand new songs.
Yeah, what about that?
We're excited about that.
I love this story from the New Yorker magazine.
I don't have this category. Does that make me weird to you, Bean?
What, stories from the New Yorker?
No. this topic.
Oh, yeah. Of words that you hate, words that you can't
words
stand.
Words that you can't stand. I don't think I have any.
The New Yorker started a contest. They said the magazine staff had counted all the words in the English language and found that there was one too many. So they asked their readers, which one should we eliminate? And they got a tremendous amount of response from readers.
Can I guess? Was it Bean?
Bean did not make the list much as what I can see right here.
All right.
Some of the words that people wrote back with, they think may be just words that they're tired of hearing. Not that they creep them out. Words like dude, for instance. Words like awesome.
Yeah, overused. That makes sense.
Right.
We overuse
like,
that one. Yeah.
Like is one,
yeah.
For instance.
Yeah.
You know, which you can sometimes hear 40 times in one sentence if you're talking to the wrong person. But then there are the kinds of words that people just have a problem with because of the texture of the word, as they say, or they're ugly words. Phlegm, for instance, is one that got a lot of votes. People just don't like the word phlegm.
It's pretty gross.
You guys remember Moist Girl? She was bizarre to me. I mean, really,
almost fell into a heap when you said that word.
It was really weird.
Yeah.
Like, there was a real physical reaction when we said the word moist. She would not only, like, cover up, but squint, and, like, she almost really did go into a coma.
Yeah.
It was the strangest physical reaction I've ever seen. So, of course, we said it a million times.
Yeah, we would. Didn't we just used to call her so she would pick up her photo? We would just say moist, just so she would hang up.
And listeners would call in and say it.
We're going to be taking your calls on words that you hate. And I guess they can be in either category, right? They can be words that just you're over, words that just are you've had enough of, and also words that you just think are icky sounding.
I'm
right?
more fascinated by the ones that you just can't stand than I am overused.
Panties. Right. I hate that word.
Why?
Ugh.
Because it's so hot?
Panties. I don't know. I just... Here's your panties. Ew.
Well, don't say it like panties.
There's no other way. That's how I hear it. I hear panties.
Why?
I don't know.
Did your grandma used to torture you with that?
It's kind of a grandma word, I think.
Panties? Really? All right. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We are looking for your words like Lisa's panties that you hate. Words that just grow. How about moist panties? What do they do for you, Lisa?
No, that's good.
That sounds bad.
Is it because panties remind you of a word that you use for little kids?
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Is that what it is?
I think so. That's a good point, yeah.
I thought this was interesting. Lisa's friend Nicole is not the only one who hates the word moist. Moist was one of the most popular submissions of ugly words to the New Yorker magazine. People hate the word moist, they say. Isn't that weird? It's the texture of the word. Now, what does that mean, the texture of the word? Is it just something about those letters together that creeps people out, right?
I don't know. I don't have that category. I really don't. I just, nothing like that bothers me. And if people start using the word like too much, you just get used to it.
That doesn't bother you either?
No, because you might as well get used to it. It's not going to...
But there's got to be an amount at which... You go, okay, come on.
I don't think I even hear it anymore because it's used so much. I think it's overused
much. And don't take this the wrong way, listeners. Kevin hangs out with a lot of 14-year-old girls.
How dare you?
I'm just saying that you must hear like 10,000 times a day, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's fairly common.
And you get used to it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, in case you're curious, according to the New Yorker, what the worst word is, the word that must be eliminated from the language, and this was a surprise to me, but they chose slacks.
Slacks.
The more that word stayed on the table, they're talking about the selection process, the more preposterous it seemed because there are lots of other words for it. It's sort of, in our minds, stuck in time, maybe like back in the 70s or something.
Are you talking slacks? About men's pants?
Yeah, men's slacks. Pants, exactly. Huh. Slacks has a bad texture. People said texture. It felt like rubbing the palm of their hand over polyester, saying that word out loud. Slacks is the word that they said they'd most like to eliminate from the English language as just a word that there's no room for anymore.
All right, I said I didn't have the category. Apparently our listeners have the category and they have it in spades. Let's take one call.
Every single line has already filled up with words that people just can't stand.
Let's say hello to Casey. Hi, Casey.
Hello, Kevin and Bean.
Hello.
Hello.
That's his word, by the way.
It must be hello.
How can hello?
Really?
That's not his word, Kevin.
No,
let's let Casey tell us what the word is.
Oh. My word is hella.
Oh, I read that wrong. Hella.
Yes.
Oh, hella.
Oh, we like when Bean says hella hot?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. As an expression of
Yeah, you can blame Gwen Stefani for that, by the way. She's the one who made that so popular, I think.
But when she did it, it was all right.
Because she's cool.
Everybody else bastardized it.
Mm-hmm.
I would have turned her down just like I did the girl that used that word too much.
I'm sure you would have. I'm sure you would have, Casey. Easy to say when you're never going to have the shot.
Thanks, Casey. All right. Hella is out. 1-800-520-1067. Please hang on, folks. We will get to your calls. We'll just get to them as fast as we can, so keep calling as they drop off. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of fun ones on the list. We'll talk to you right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Well, we have definitely tapped into something here. Words that you hate. Lisa, you're getting a tremendous amount of support on panties. Apparently, a lot of ladies are right there with you on hating the word panties. Melissa writes in, I'm writing this because I cannot call in, but these words are so gross. Tender and nugget. Those are the two words that drive
nugget.
Her crazy. Similar to that, Barb writes in, my husband doesn't like the words meat and juice. What's the problem with those?
What?
Wow.
Richard
juicy
writes
meat.
In on,
I bet that's awful for him,
Richard
too.
Writes in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, swag. Absolutely stupid sounding. He hates the word swag. So every time we play I'm the Best, it has to drive him crazy with the swag. And one more from also the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. A word that I hate, it's beer mug. It sounds stupid, says Nigel. Well, can't argue with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get back to your telephone calls. There's some weird ones on the line. Let's start with Eddie. He's on line one. Talking about the New Yorker, they recently ran a contest in their magazine. What's the word you hate the most that we're going to eliminate from the English language? They came up with slacks as the one that had to go. Eddie, what word do you hate the most?
The word hilarious, the way it is used nowadays.
Oh, because when people say it, what they're telling you is not hilarious.
Exactly. You know, they use it for the smallest degree of humor. You know, oh my God, it was hilarious. It's like, use the word, it was funny. You know, it was cool. Hilarious for everything.
Do you ever say things to people, or does it just bug you quietly?
You know, it bugs me quietly. I was talking about it with my wife last night because she used it, and I'm like, honey, just say it was funny. That was cool, but oh my God, it was hilarious.
Was she talking about your sex?
Oh.
Thank you, Eddie.
No, that, yeah.
Okay,
bye. That was hilarious.
That was hilarious. All right, let's try Emily. She has, she's on line four. She has one of those words that I think may be a texture thing. Emily, thanks for calling. What's going on?
Yeah, I hate the word discharge.
Well, me too.
That does mean
it's
ugly.
It's not a texture thing. It's a thing thing.
It means ugly things. That's why. It refers
unless you're being discharged from the Army or from the hospital, in which case those are great discharges.
Yeah, mostly that's not how we
hear it.
That's
true.
Thanks for the call. Let's try Stephanie has one of the strangest ones I've ever seen. She's on line six. Stephanie, we're talking about words you hate. How is this possible?
Hello, Steph.
Hi.
How is
I hate the word okay.
You hate the word
in,
okay.
In any way? I mean, is it if someone goes okay? Or is it
that
anyway?
You?
Anyway.
Or like, okay.
What if you say, hey, meet me for lunch at Taco Bell? And somebody says, okay, I'll see you then.
That what bugs? Do you say after that?
You say, great, see you then.
Okay. What's your problem with okay? It's one of the most useful phrases in the English, in every language. That's one of the few phrases that's crossed over to every language in the world.
It's okay.
She doesn't know why, but apparently she hates it.
That's all right. That happens.
All right. Let's get to Jasmine on line eight. This one has been taken off like wildfire in the past few months. Jasmine, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
What's your word?
Hi. The word's YOLO, it's from that new Drake song, and everyone just uses it for the most stupidest reasons.
Yeah, yeah. You can't get away from YOLO.
It's ridiculous.
How
like,
do people use it?
I go to it's at a high school, and, like, you'll drop your milk and be like, YOLO, or, like, people will, like, knock stuff over in class, and it's just like, you only live once, or, oh, I got an F on the test. YOLO, and it's just
right.
Like the stupidest thing.
Well, I mean, look, most of these phrases that come out of rap songs, they last for like 3 or 4 months and then they're gone. Very rarely do they stick. So you just have to wait this one out.
Remember Kanye's Cray? Remember that? Everybody started saying Cray,
exactly. Yeah. All right, Jasmine, thank you so much for the call. All right, let's go to Mike. He's on line seven. He's got another strange one that I can't imagine you wouldn't like this word. Mike, thanks for calling the Kevin Bean Show. What's your word?
Delicious.
Delicious.
Really?
I don't understand what it is. I think it's that people are usually slopping down food when they're eating something, and they say it's delicious, and it's just gross.
Oh, I see, because they got their mouth open and they got a lot of food?
Right. Yeah. And I think it's the texture thing, and it's gotten to the point where I have told people, like my family, they'll apologize. They'll say it at dinner and then apologize because I'll cringe.
But delicious, I mean, it's such a positive, happy word. If something's delicious, then something's going right in your life.
I agree, and I don't know what an alternate would be, but for some reason, it just tears me up. I have no idea why.
Everybody needs to start saying yummy around you, apparently.
Something else, yes.
Thanks for the call.
Let's help, Mike. Thank you.
Let's try Joanna, line 4, 1-800-520-1067 on the Kevin and Bean Show. You're talking about words you hate. Hi, Joanna. What's your word?
I hate the word horny.
I could see that.
Is that?
It's gross. It makes you the opposite of horny.
Yeah, don't say
or
that
sexy.
Around you.
It makes you the opposite of sexy.
What would you prefer? Would you like somebody to say frisky? I mean, what word would you like to use?
Or turned on? Or
I guess turned on. Anything but horny.
Okay. All right, we'll make a note of it.
How about I'm all boned up? How about that?
Yes.
Okay, good. She's fine with that.
Kyle says, I hate the word rural. I also hate the idea of somebody from a rural area saying the word rural.
It's a hard word.
Rural is kind of a tough word, yeah. Shall we talk to the original Moist Girl? Shall we get Nicole on the phone? Lisa's friend Nicole, who kind of got us forever in our mind now. Whenever we heard the word moist, we think of her. How you doing, Nicole? Long time no talk.
I'm good, as long as you don't use that word. Perfect.
Hi, Nick.
I don't know if people heard your reaction when he said it, but this is what fascinated us, is that you have a negative physical reaction where you literally cringe and most of the time make some kind of little scream.
Yeah, do you get like shudders or what happens exactly?
No, I just get like all tense and tight and cringe and start sweating at times. It makes her sweat.
Oh, it's like a panic attack.
Are there any other words like that for you, Nicole?
No, that's the only one that really triggers that kind of reaction. I mean, there are words that rhyme with it that I will pause for a second or jerk, but I don't have the exact same reaction.
Because you're kind of figuring out if it's that word or not.
I think it's that work. Yeah.
It's so strange because we not only have received emails and Facebook comments from other people who have problems with that word, but even this New Yorker article that started the conversation, that was one of the most common words that people sent in.
So you're saying if people say noise with the N...
That's okay.
But you
pause. I don't enjoy it, I can deal.
Oh, okay. But then
I don't enjoy it. That's not a good time for me.
But if they say moist.
No.
I'm not a dog. Hey, Caesar Milan, take it easy.
What about if it's a question like moist? Does that bother you?
No, it doesn't matter. I can't even go down the cake aisle at the grocery store. No.
Yeah, what? You would be surprised. Like when I'm around,
she can't
Nicole,
go down the cake aisle.
I forget, and you're surprised at how often you actually use that word.
Which word, Lisa?
Moist.
Oh, no, stop it.
She's never going to call again.
No dinner for you, Lisa.
Whoa, hey, what's going on here? No dinner for Lisa. Who knew?
Not even if it's moist and delicious?
See? Oh, my God, I'm like sweating right now. You have no idea.
You're really weird, but thank you for calling.
Thanks, yes. Nicole.
Talk to you guys later.
All right. Bye. Bye.
You guys see last week that the saxophone player for the Killers committed suicide?
I did not.
No.
How crazy is it that a guy in a band called the Killers would kill himself? It's like, who would have ever seen that coming?
No,
right?
It's ironic if he kills someone else. If he's in the Killers and he kills his neighbor, then it's...
But then he kills anybody,
but this group's not called the Suicides.
Well, that's
a good point.
That's a good point.
If he was in the Suicide Kings and then he killed himself, that would be awesome.
Then we got a thing, right? I got you.
Yeah. Okay, now that we have that clear.
We'll talk to Ryan Scheckler coming up next. He's got a big event this Saturday that you are invited to raise some money for some great, great kids. We'll tell you about that on the way. First, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday. What's happening?
Do you know the kids?
I don't think the kids are great either.
Do you know them?
Just my take.
Do you know how great they are? Have you hung out with them?
Well, they're autistic.
Have you hung out with them?
Not personally, but they're autistic.
Then how
kids
do you know they're great kids?
Need a little help.
What if they're autistic assholes?
It's a great.
Then what? What do you do?
It's a great charity.
I don't know anything about these kids. I don't know anything. What if they're all dicks?
I think we give the kids, the poor little kids who are autistic and need our help, the benefit of the doubt that they're great kids.
Why can't we just bring neutral? Why can't we not make any judgment call on them, whether they're great or not? Can't we just say they're autistic and just let it go at that?
Since I've known Bean, that was the most positive sell he's ever made. Let's pat him on the back for that.
I don't know. I don't like it.
All right.
It's not exact enough for me. It's very moist.
It is kind of moist. Yeah. Delicious, YOLO.
Linda Evangelista, the supermodel.
She's cray.
She's also a gold-digging whore.
Uh-oh.
She may have the most expensive child in history. She has asked her baby daddy, François-Henri Pinon.
Oh. Bean does a great French guy.
He does.
For
a new home.
Yes.
And $46,000 a month in child support.
A month?
Oh, my God.
$46,000 a month for child support.
Wow.
Does this kid eat gold flakes in the morning instead of frosted flakes?
I don't know
how. They have a 5-year-old son named Augie together, and she wants $46,000 a month.
I'm not kidding when I say this. I don't know how you would spend that much.
A 5-year-old doesn't need $46,000 a month.
It's clearly for her, but
unless he's got a bad coke problem, that kid does not need $48,000 a month.
It's true.
But isn't Augie making tons of his?
You can't even get it out.
Own money by being.
Oh my God! Oh jeez!
I'm sorry. I believe that.
Taking
it
back.
Isn't Augie making
We know we got it in the artist.
The
we
dog's name is Iggy, by the way.
I believe it was Augie, but still.
I'll bet you $1,000 it's Augie.
I just said Augie.
This kid's name is Augie.
Right. That kid's name is Augie. So my comedy was that he's making lots of his own money by being the artist. That's all. Come on. I didn't deliver it very well.
No, you did not.
That's just not good.
You're laughing too hard.
Back to you, Ralph.
I hear you, Ralph. I hear you.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Oh, come on.
Lily Allen is 27 years old today.
Don't short us.
Ellie Kemper, the actress from The Office, is 32.
Ralph, do some more stories.
Jenna Von Oy turns 35 years old today.
You're mean.
David Beckham turns 37 years old today. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, wrestler turned superstar actor, he turns 40 years old. And actress Christine Baranski is 60 years old today. If you're upset because of the shirt and showbiz beat, bean at krock.com. That's what strongly
you.
Worded letters should all go
How
there.
How dare you?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Adam Carolla joins us in minutes here on the Kevin Devine Show for This Week in Rage, the band Garbage, coming in the 9 o'clock hour. And, of course, we've got more tickets for you to join us at this weekend's K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta, which is going to be on Saturday, Cinco de Mayo. And these tickets include backstage passes, which I can't stop reminding you is clothing optional this year.
Right. Okay.
So good times.
And if you're coming to the show, make sure and stop by somewhere else first.
Well, of course, yeah. You got to go visit Old Man Scheckler. Is Old Man Scheckler on the phone?
Old Man Scheckler is on the phone.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Ryan.
Ryan, we were trying to figure out, what are you now, about 22 or something like that?
Yeah, I'm 22 years old now.
All right, so you've been a pro skateboarder for how long?
I've been pro since I was, 13. So we're closing in on 10 years right now.
Yeah, you got to be close to the end, though, man. It's got to be over here soon, right?
Oh, no way, dude. It feels a lot more more fluent to skateboard now. I mean, obviously, the more you do something, the more comfortable you become at it. But it definitely feels like walking now. It's like I get on the skateboard, and I feel so dang comfortable. It's insane.
Almost more than just walking?
Yeah, I mean, I still trip walking. I definitely feel more comfortable skateboarding.
Now, I'm just teasing you because it's just so amazing how much you've done in your career already, and it's so fun to watch you skate, and I'm glad you're doing this event again. The third annual Skate for a Cause is happening at the Etnies Skate Park in Lake Forest. It's starting Saturday at 10 a.m. It runs all day long. Tell us all about it, Ryan, because I know you got a lot of fans who will be excited to hear.
Yeah, basically, you know, like you said, it's our third one, and we always have, like, these events are so amazing to me, how many skateboarders actually come out. So we have five skate events that are actually going to be going on, so best tricks and bowl runs, and there's just going to be a bunch of contest type atmosphere that kids can watch, and you know, they'll have the Cinco de Mayo carnival that's going on, so all the sponsors that are coming in are doing their own kind of pretty like fun section, so kids can get a bunch of free gear, come out, see their favorite skateboarders. The admission is free. But if you want to pay $50, that will get you the VIP ticket, and that allows you to actually come inside the course and come talk to your favorite skaters and just kind of be involved. And the whole thing, we benefit A-Skate, which is Skate for Autism and Autism Speaks. And it's going to be an amazing event. I can't wait. I'm super excited.
That's pretty cool that it's free. Seems like you could raise more money, but then again, you want a lot of kids to come. So that's the catch. 22, right? Yeah. Or 55, or what's the catch?
Yeah, what number? Something like that. Yeah. So, I don't even know. I'm not going to put a number on
Good.
It. But the basis of the actual event is to get children with autism on the skateboard or just get them to have an amazing day. So, you know, at the end of the day, we'll raise some money we need to raise. But, it is a free event, so come in and donate some money and just have some fun and watch some amazing skateboarding.
What kind of experience have you had working with the foundation, Ryan? And this is the voice of Ryan Scheckler here on the Kevin and Bean Show again. With kids responding to skateboarding, autistic kids, what is it that that you have seen happen with them when they get introduced to the sport?
It's just pure laughter. It's pure laughter, and it's a world that they haven't been introduced yet to. So, you know, I'll get a little 4 or 5 year old kid who has autism and grab him and put him on the skateboard and start rolling around with him, and they start laughing, and it's like belly laughs you've never heard, you know. It's the laughs, the infectious laughs that make you laugh. So it's like it's just a great feeling, you know. I recommend everybody, you know, if you can give back, because it's such a great feeling.
Oh, that sounds great. And you've got again this year just dozens of your skate pals are going to be there. Who are some of the people that that you want to name that folks might want to come down and meet?
Oh man, Fabrizio Santos will be there. Lutzka's going to be there. Jason Ellis, Joey Brzezinski, Kevin Romar, Curtis Palamonico, Lance Mountain.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, dude, there's a lot of people coming. Tori Pudwell, Sean Sheffy, Ryan DeCenzo. It's pretty much it's stacked.
What's their response when you contact them and say, hey, we're doing it again this year?
They were all so amped to come, and they said, yes, if I'm home, I'll be there. And then a lot of people already had it on their calendar. So, you know, the response I've been getting from my fellow pro skateboarders, it's just so amazing that they also respect what we're trying to do and want to come out and help these kids. It's awesome, man.
This Saturday from 10 till 5 at the Etnies Skate Park of Lake Forest. The Schechler Foundation and Etnies are putting it on together to benefit the A Skate Foundation to help kids with autism. You guys are going to have best trick contests, skate demos, skate carnival village, lots of sponsors with lots of games and prizes. Cinco de Mayo, yeah. Again, as you mentioned, Ryan, it is free, but you can make a $50 donation if you want to get into the VIP section and meet all your favorite skaters, too. Great stuff. What, real quick, before we let you go, what are your plans looking like for 2012? I know you you just got back from Italy, or it seems like you're always going off to someplace. What's next for you, Ryan?
Yeah, man, I've been traveling like a madman. But, I'm just getting ready for May 15th is the first Street League, and that's in Kansas City. So that basically starts off the whole contest series. And then they just announced the three new stops of X Games that are the overseas ones. So that's going to be pretty awesome. And it's just a packed season, and I'm trying to finish this Plan B video I've been working on. So it's just a big skate year.
Is it getting harder and harder for you? I know you're only 22, but kids start skateboarding now when they're three.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like and then a new kid will come in. He's 14. He's doing stuff, and you go, "Hey, I can't do that."
You know, it's great. I look at it as a blessing. You know, I got the opportunity to skate when I was very young and learn fast. So it's awesome to see kids doing it as well. But it is kind of mind blowing when you'll be trying a trick for a while and some kid will just come in super fresh and just try it. And I don't know, it's frustrating, but it's also awesome.
Frustrating and great. Yeah, it's funny. It's funny because you watch the X Games, you go to some of these events, and you can see that. You're competing really hard. You want to win, but you're all still at the same time cheering for each other.
Yeah, of course.
That's rare.
No one will ever conquer skateboarding. It's one of those things that, you know, you can always tweak a variation of tricks. So it'll always be getting new and new tricks. But, it is very interesting to watch how talented these young athletes are.
Get all the details you need about the event this weekend at RyanSchechler.com. Follow Ryan on Twitter at Ryan Schechler. You're the best, man. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin Amin Show. We enjoyed it.
Oh, man. Thanks for having me again, guys, and I will see you soon.
All right, man.
Adam Carolla in minutes here on the Kevin Amin Show, then Butch and Shirley from the band Garbage. So last night, Kevin, you and the King of Mexico went to see the Avengers.
This is a little date.
Aw, that's
a little
nice.
Date with me and the King.
Did he text her in the movie?
He did not, but he tried the popcorn trick several times, and I said, I know that one. Stop it.
Now, I am curious to hear what you thought about the Avengers, because Ralph was obviously in the bag. I mean, they could have filmed Captain America taking a poop for 2 hours, and he would have loved it, because he's a big comic book geek. But what about a guy like you who really, I mean, you've seen the Iron Man movies and whatnot, but it's not like you're in love with the Avengers since you're a little kid. What did you make of it?
You know what was great about the original Iron Man was that it was sci-fi. But it had a great sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
It really played well. The laughs were true and funny. And,
yeah.
And it wasn't forced. They weren't trying to be funny, but it was still really an action movie. That's how this one was. It was great.
Oh, that's
really?
Great.
It was a 10 out of 10 for me.
Wow. And with so many lead characters, though. I mean, you've got your Thor and your Black Widow and your Hawkeye.
They all have their time.
And that's amazing that they can juggle that many characters
Joss
in one
Whedon
movie.
Joss Whedon is a genius.
Yeah, he is indeed. Well, we got a little bit of a surprise for you because we have the actual Bruce Banner on the phone with us here on the Kevin Amin Show.
Oh, Dr.
Right
Banner.
Now. Of course, Mark Ruffalo plays him in the movie. Hey, Dr. Banner, how are you?
Hey, guys, how are you?
We're very good.
This is a big thrill then to see the Avengers movie that some people thought would never be made finally getting ready to open up this week, huh?
Yeah, it's very exciting for all of us. We're all really looking forward to the weekend and hopefully people will go and they'll enjoy it.
What? Are there big expectations for the numbers of people that'll go?
Oh yeah, they're expecting to make over $150 million this weekend.
Wow!
If they don't make that, everyone is going to be very disappointed.
And then what happens?
Well, you know, people are going to get upset and they get angry.
Right.
You know. It's nothing you can do about it, right?
I'm saying,
why are you putting the pressure on me?
Don't get angry.
We didn't want this.
Hulk make movie.
Right.
You go to movie or Hulk smash.
Yeah, Hulk is in the movie. There's lots of Hulk in the movie.
Hulk in movie.
Yeah, and Hulk smashes a lot.
Hulk smash. smash.
Hulk funny.
Hulk went to smash Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, we all want to smash her.
Smash pelvis. With giant Hulk pant filler.
I think we all sort of know what you mean.
I don't think you understand.
I think we're pretty clear on
Hulk
that.
It's straining at Hulk's pants to get out.
Okay, but
Hulk
that's not
wants
what this...
to give Scarlett Johansson little Hulk.
Okay, that's not what this movie is about, though. It's
it
not
should
about...
be what movie about. Well. That's why Hulk's so angry.
Is that it? He can't
they
have
don't
her?
Let Hulk bang Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, there's no romance, really, between her and anyone.
Only get to bang Jeremy Renner.
No. I'm sorry, what?
Jeremy Renner, he's got a nice pooper.
I don't think that made it in the movie. That must have been in the deleted scenes.
Oh, maybe that was just trailer with Hulk.
I didn't see that in the movie.
Welcome to Avengers, new guy.
By the way, looking ahead toward tomorrow's Kevin and Bean Show, Bear Grylls is going to be on the program tomorrow. Dr. Drew, of course. Chloe Moretz from the new Dark Shadows movie is going to be... Wait, she's old enough for a bell now, right? How old is she, Chloe Moretz?
I don't know.
I don't know.
She may not be.
Okay, I'm going to have to take it back and give her that bell.
Just in
anyway,
case.
That's all tomorrow. And the band Garbage joins us in about 20 minutes or so. Right now, Adam Carolla is on the phone, of course, Guinness World Record holder for the world's most downloaded podcast. Rich Man, Poor Man is one of the features he does on his show. If you're rich, see Adam on stage at the John Lovitz Podcast Theater tonight with Jimmy Kimmel, Adam Carolla, Sarah Silverman, Kevin Nealon, Jeff Ross, Patton Oswalt. Is that at the Lovitz? That's where that's going to be tonight, Adam?
That's at the Lovitz because the tickets are expensive and people are cheap and heartless.
Yeah, oh, I see.
It's great, though, benefiting Project ALS. And then, of course, you're doing the Irvine Improv. That's going to be tomorrow night. Tickets available through adamcarolla.com. How you been, buddy? What's going on, man?
Oh, my God. I've been great. I saw that Bob Marley documentary.
Oh, Marley, yeah.
That's really good, isn't it?
Oh, it's 2.5 hours, but it's great. I mean, it's actually longer than his life. But it's one of the few documentaries actually longer than the guy was on the planet.
Kevin was joking about it, but how much did you laugh out loud that they kept having to put English translations up for all the Jamaican guys who were speaking English?
Well, it's pretty bad, but it's not as bad as like when they're doing, you know, boxing 24/7, and they have to do it with Floyd Mayweather Sr.
I mean,
he was born in the United States.
Right. So can't understand a single word he says.
There is a level that gets worse than English born in another country. That's English born in Kentucky and not understanding what the hell you're saying. So it does get worse.
Well, I really recommend the movie. And we had Ziggy Marley, who's featured in the movie as one of the producers. We had him on the show a couple weeks ago, but it is available on demand and on iTunes, and you really got to get it. And it's so tragic because what a dumbass to have melanoma removed from your toe and then never go back to the doctor for another checkup until you collapse and find out that your entire body is riddled with cancer and you die at 36 years old. I mean, what an unbelievable dumbass and what a loss for the world.
And what a fitting eulogy. You really should have been there at his funeral. That would have been awesome. Number one, it's another reason for us as Americans to hate soccer. Because essentially soccer killed the man.
Oh, how dare you.
I'll
That's
tell
true.
You why. Because the man loved soccer
right.
with a passion.
A lot of most of the world does.
And he played soccer. It's all in Jamaica, by the way. When you're not playing reggae or playing with them steel drums or getting high on spleef, there's nothing to do but kick a ball in a circle.
Right.
Evidently, there's no lab to go to. You just kick a ball out on your front lawn. And, you know, we need a place to play soccer. These places, they don't need a place to play soccer. They could use a dumpster and a soccer game could break out in it. Like, seriously, they'll play soccer on anyone's front lawn, on any street, and any alley. And he played the hell out of the soccer.
Right.
And he needed his toe amputated. And he's like, that's my soccer toe. that's my toe I use. Like, when you play soccer, all you got is your big toe.
That's true.
You know,
need
other,
it.
Other sports, like, if you're a professional bowler, you'd be like, take my whole foot. I don't need it. But a soccer player needs his toe. So they're like, hey, you're 32, and we need to take your toe. And he's like, I'm in my soccer prime. I need my toe. And it's fine. And he kept his toe.
Well, that was a bad decision. That's not soccer's fault.
It is soccer's fault because if he loved, like, if it was, like, for me, like, if he loved watching basic cable and masturbating, like, instead of soccer, right. He'd been, like, take the whole leg.
Yep.
It's just extra weight, man.
Just don't go any higher.
Yeah. That's all I need, man.
See? We learned something today. Soccer killed Bob Marley.
What if someone wanted to take my remote thumb? Well, that would have been a different story. I mean, the thumb I used to work the remote, not the thumb that lives a long distance from me.
Right.
I'm just saying, so another example of soccer killing.
All right.
That's what I'm saying.
I got you.
I think that's an excellent point. All right. Are we out of time, or can we still do this?
Wait a minute. I'm not done with Bob Marley.
Okay. Well, let's just talk about Bob Marley then.
All right.
All right. I will say this, too. The man was a Rastafarian.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And here's all you need to know about religion. First off, you can blame soccer and you can blame Rastafarians for killing Bob Marley. Because Bob Marley was like, when they found out he had cancer in his toe, he was like, Rasta will take care of it, man. And 2 years later, he was dead. So your religion taking care of it, not a great plan.
Okay.
Let the guy with the glasses take care of it, number one. Number two, the whole Rastafarian religious thing is like, hey, man, you smoke spleef, and you turn your back on Western culture and Western civilization, and the Mecca, Africa is where you go. Like that's the cradle of civilization. That's where all of life began. Soon as the guy found out his body was riddled with cancer, where did he go? Germany.
That's right. That's where you went for the holistic clinic, right?
Soon as so this is all you need to know about religion. When you're healthy, you're playing soccer and you're smoking spleef.
It's all good.
It's all good. It's all about the motherland. It's all about Africa. And it's all about, you know, being healed with essence of herb and all that. But once you get a CAT scan and someone tells you you're really sick, next flight to Germany.
Yep, all of a sudden, the white man's looking pretty good.
Looking
at that point,
pretty
right?
Good about now. That guy did pretty good in algebra. Bring him on.
And did you also notice, Adam? And again, Adam Carolla on the phone. We're talking about the Bob Marley documentary and stuff. Did you also notice that the guy never made any money because he was always getting ripped off, bad business practices, yet continued to have dozens of children? Like, that never entered his mind, how am I going to pay for all these kids? Didn't he have like 13 of them or something?
He had 11 kids with nine different women, and it's insane. But and also, that's the other good part about the Rasta religion and all religions, which is, you know, once you get a boner, everything's out the window. 16-year-old down the street's looking pretty good about now.
Adam, we had Ziggy on the show, and we asked him the exact same question. How did you get enough attention from your dad? And he said, oh, I was first. So I had no problem.
That was the answer. And he was also, Bob was a baller, too, because he had his wife on tour with him as one of the I3's backup dancers, yet he was still nailing everything on the road with his wife basically in the next room. I mean, how do you get away with that?
I know. She would have to go in. I mean, it's a great documentary to watch with your wife. Because about every 4 or 5 minutes, you can just turn her and go, well, come on now, I'm not that bad. Sure, I tune out at dinner. That's not the same as me bawling away in the next hotel room and you come and get me because it's time to get on stage, right? I mean, come on. I could be worse.
It could be worse.
The greatest line of the documentary is when they're interviewing one of the older, more lucid whalers, and they said to the guy, after Bob Marley was shot, he got shot and it grazed and it hit his arm, and then his wife got shot and then his driver got shot. And the interviewer said to the guy, do you think it was a professional hit? And he said, is professionals things get in Jamaica? Like, you never think about that. Like, professional by what country standards?
That's right. True.
And we would not consider that a professional hit because nobody got killed.
Nobody got killed, but in Jamaica... He's close. It's Day of the Jackal stuff.
Somebody pulled the trigger in Jamaica. That's heavy.
Exactly. Lee Harvey Oswald of Jamaica.
Very funny stuff. Adam Carolla is going to be at the John Lovitz Podcast Theater in Los Angeles tonight. A great lineup of talent. His friend Jimmy Kimmel, Sarah Silverman, Kevin Nealon, Todd Glass, Jeff Ross, Patton Oswalt. Tickets are available now through projectals.org. That sounds like a fun time. And then tomorrow night, Irvine Improv. Tickets are available through adamcarolla.com for just $25. And then looking ahead, you're going to be at the Borderline Bar and Grill back in Thousand Oaks on May 11th. Ace Man, thanks for the time. We'll talk
Thank
to you.
soon.
Guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Yes.
Sorry, I was supposed to hit a button there. Let me do it again.
You sure were.
Let me come back.
Smooth.
Start again.
Okay.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's 8:53.
And now, a moment with Bean.
But isn't Augie making tons of his...
You can't even get it out.
Own money by being...
Oh, my God.
You're the artist.
God.
I'm sorry. I believe that. Is it Augie making...
We know. We got it in the artist.
The
we
dog's name is Iggy, by the way.
That was A Moment with Bean.
It's really... Uggy is the dog's name, but the kid's name was Augie, so that was the hilarity.
That was hilarity.
Sued.
I'll tell you that.
Butch Vig, Shirley Manson, they're in a band called Garbage. They're in the next room. They'll be joining us shortly here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, Rouse got the showbiz beat. What's happening?
Explain something to me real quick.
All right.
Ryan Seacrest.
Yes.
I can't explain Ryan Seacrest to you.
You're going to have to give us more to go on.
Yeah, it's just been announced that they're signing him for 2 more years of his morning radio show.
Yeah.
And this may sound like sour grapes because we just also happen to do a morning radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope it will be interpreted
as not that way.
With the actual intention of what I'm trying to point out here.
All right.
Which is I don't begrudge his success. We do a very different kind of show here than he does over there. I don't think.
Just say it.
They just signed him for 2 more years.
Yeah.
At $25 million a year. Another $50 million for 2 more year extension on his contract.
God.
This is after they just gave him $50 million over at American Idol for two more seasons of that show.
Right. Who else has made that kind of money with a radio show?
And he's getting tons of dough from NBC. He's still doing the American Top 40 show. He's still doing the E! Entertainment News show.
Look.
That's insane.
You have to say.
He's going
to
be doing election coverage on the Today Show. Ryan Seacrest is doing election
he's
coverage.
He's not a journalist.
For somebody who is basically a card reader at best, you have to give him credit for being a businessman.
Yes, you do.
Absolutely. Look at the success he's had.
But I'm just
I don't
flummoxed.
Understand it either, but wow.
I understand him doing what he does. Look, he built the Kardashian show. Good on him. He obviously saw that there was some interest there and built a show around that. I can understand and even validate that success. I don't like that show. I don't care for those people, but I can see where he makes a contribution to a certain audience that wants to watch that show. But why are these people handing over him $25-50 million for the work that he's doing for them
on the radio? Yeah,
on the radio.
That's the most puzzling part of this whole thing to me. It really is.
Even American Idol.
Well, I think the radio thing, part of it is that he's not just on Kiss FM. That show is syndicated to hundreds of Clear Channel stations around the country. So I think he is filling up a lot of time for him. I think he's providing a lot of content by that show being available everywhere, all over the place.
But couldn't anyone play Kesha?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really? Yes. I mean, what's his value is what I'm asking.
I don't know. We've talked about this before. For a guy who has never said anything funny or interesting, I don't know why they pay him so much or why he's as successful as he is.
Look, I don't think we should be making $25 million a year. That's not my point. I'm not
trying
to say
that's my point, though. I'd like to make that point.
But we don't deserve that. And I think you make an argument that no radio show deserves that.
I think people who do shows for hundreds of stations, though, they end up making a lot of dough, I think. You know, the Rush Limbaughs of the world and people like that are syndicated in 250 stations.
Limbaugh's on the air, though. Forget about just politics. He's on the air talking.
Saying something,
saying something, filling up,
regardless
providing
if you like
content,
right.
For hours.
I hear you.
I'm stunned.
Yeah, that's stunning news.
And Rush Limbaugh has something to say too. He has actually put some effort into his opinion and talking about things that are happening, that are topical, that are current, that he has an opinion on.
And I'm sure his prep time is hours every day.
Right, right.
Wouldn't you 10 times rather listen to our friend down the hall?
Carson Daly,
your good friend.
My good friend, that guy. Wouldn't you rather listen to him?
Carson's great. Yes.
Any day.
He does a great show.
Over Ryan.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
What? I don't get it.
Because he's funny. And yeah, he does a great show.
This is coming from a point of jealousy for me.
You want that money?
I'm just going to say that right up front. That guy is really cashing in.
Yeah, he really is.
Good on him.
No, no good on him. Bad on him.
Look, if you can get it, if you don't have talent.
Yes.
And you can get that kind of dough.
Right.
You've got something going on.
What do you have?
I don't know for the life of me. I don't know.
All right.
Thank you.
Let's talk about someone who does have talent.
All right.
And someone who knows what they're doing. Nadia Sulman in the news. Nadia Sulman is to baby making what Ryan Seacrest is to radio. She has, of course, filed for bankruptcy. I mean, serious bankruptcy, like Chapter 7 bankruptcy, the real deal.
This
like,
is the, that's the I'm one not that paying
you
anyone
get
back.
Nothing ever. Thank you. Good day, sir.
Wow.
Bankruptcy.
It wipes out all of your debt, right?
That's right. She's on food stamps for her 14 children. She's losing her home to foreclosure. She just stole Beans Mike, I think. they found out this week that she is spending over $500 a year on a gym membership.
$500 a year?
Hard to reconcile for someone who is on welfare to support her 14 children, but is not above spending $500 on herself at a, for a gym membership. How often can she go to the gym? She's got 14 kids.
She can't.
Maybe she avoids her 14 kids by going there all day. Every
Maybe
day.
She should save $500, stay home and just lift her children all day. Run around after them. So it's like she's got a gym at home.
Obviously.
Yeah. She's a bad person. She, by the way, said she is reconsidering doing full-blown porn. She said, you know, she's already committed to do a solo video for this website. She said she would do more if it would move her kids into a very safe, huge home that they deserve.
I don't want to see that.
I don't want to be, go to there. No. But she's considering it, so there you go. And sad news. The guy who played guitar on the theme from Shaft.
Nope.
Has passed
We're
away.
We're not going there.
Yeah. Charles Skip Pitts. Come
oh,
on.
Skip.
Skip was great. That guitar. Remember that waka 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 on that guitar?
Bean?
Yeah. You have a little Shaft bean?
I don't. Let me take a look while you continue to tell us more about it. I don't know if I do or not.
How
much more is there?
He was 65 years old. Died yesterday after a long battle with cancer. He recorded and toured with Isaac Hayes, of course, the legendary soul singer who sang Shaft for nearly 40 years. And he also was one of the session players on the legendary Stax record label. So he did a lot of cool R&B songs back in the day. But he created that patented sound, that definite telltale sound at the beginning of Shaft.
Yeah, I don't think I have that part. I have this part of Shaft. I don't know if we'll hear his guitar or not on it.
Who's the cat that you're hooked up about? The message you're all about.
Could you hear some of his guitar in that?
Not really. But in the beginning of the song, goes, waka, 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 waka,
legendary.
And then Edge took that and put it on every YouTube song afterwards. So he was very influential.
That's where it began.
Today's celebrity birthday is Christine Baranski, 60 years old today. Dwayne The Rock Johnson celebrates his 40th birthday. David Beckham's 37. Jenna Von Oy turns 35 years old today. Ellie Kemper from The Office is 32. And Lily Allen is 27 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Remember the exact year. I know I was in high school, I think, when the last Garbage album came out, at my prom or something.
Oh.
We danced to them.
Yeah, but you tell them, Shirley.
They are back, ladies and gentlemen, with a brand new album available May 15th. Garbage, Butch and Shirley from the group join us in the studio here on the Kevin Beach Show. This has been a very touching reunion. When you guys walked in, we were genuinely excited to see you, and you guys actually acted like you remembered us. We want to thank you for that.
You're very welcome. Of course, we do that to everybody.
Of course,
I know you do.
You have to.
Well, welcome back. We have a lot of questions we need to fire at you, and we are going to be world premiering yet another new song from the forthcoming Not Your Kind of People album here in just a couple minutes. So brand new Garbage that we're going to be playing that you've not heard anywhere in a minute. But first, I've seen so much in these interviews you've been talking about lately about how, you know, you're on your own now. You don't have the big record company behind you. Why such negative vibes about working for a record company, and what's different now? How have things changed for you now that you're back on kind of on your own?
Well, do we really, really need to answer that first half of that question?
Yes.
You wonder why there are negative vibes about
working with a major label.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, have you ever been on a major record label?
No, none of us have.
I haven't, but you seem so happy to be running your own independent label now, and I'm just wondering, what did you learn from the experience that you had in your previous life, your previous career? What did you learn that now you've been able to figure out a way to make it better for you on your own now?
Booch, what did you learn?
That it's better doing it ourselves,
yeah.
Basically. No, I think by the time our fourth record came out, Bleed Like Meat, we just kind of hit a wall in creative loggerheads, and that music had changed. Part of it was that our first records came out on indie labels, Elmo and Mushroom Infectious, and they were bought up by bigger corporations. So by the time, like I said, Bleed Like Meat came out, there were people we didn't even know. They didn't even know who we were.
Or care.
I didn't really even, you know, what kind of record we were making, whatever. So it just didn't make sense for us to sort of pursue
plus
that path anymore.
Plus, it's sexy being a CEO.
So did non-musical people try to have too much influence over the music of the band? Is that what happened in a short version?
That's one of the things that happens, yeah. And you start getting all these opinions. Well, if you do this, you might sell more records, or you might, would be a financial.
For them, it's about only money.
It kind of is. We're an asset to a corporation. That's how they looked at it.
For you, it's not that way. It's your art.
Well, I mean, obviously, when a major label is behind you and you're the hot ticket of the month, mm-hmm. then there's no better combination, you know.
Right.
But we just found the relationship became obstructive in the end.
Gotcha.
And we're not stupid. We know they want to make money and they're a business, and that's fair enough. But that doesn't mean necessarily we have to view ourselves like that.
Right.
Certainly. Now, one of the things that you've done, and one of the ways that you have reached out to garbage fans who were breathlessly waiting for your return, is through the internet. And I would imagine that you have had more contact directly with your fans with this new record so far than you probably ever did before, because it's right out there. You know, it's right out there, and they have a way to kind of reach out and touch you.
Not that kind of contact.
No,
that's not what I'm suggesting. But I mean, social media has changed so much since the last Garbage record came out 7 years ago, and it seems like you guys are real smart about understanding that and using it.
I mean, we were surprised when we finally sort of activated our Facebook account, and all of a sudden there were 300,000 fans on there, and they were all super psyched that we have a new album coming out. I mean, we were gone for 7 years.
That had to be a concern of, I don't know that anyone will care or whatever, that had to be a concern.
Of course, yeah. We just assumed nobody would care, to be honest, which I think is probably the best place to start.
Because then you're not disappointed no matter what.
Yeah, but also I think we understood that if we want to take our music to an audience, we have to just assume we're starting from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fair enough.
Does it feel that way when you've played shows, you've been playing smaller places that I read in an interview that you booked just because you weren't sure of the interest?
Yeah, I mean, and it's also, after being gone for so long, it's kind of like taking baby steps to get back up on stage. And we just decided we wanted to almost kind of go back when we made the first record. We started playing very small clubs, and we're surprised that the response from the fans has been insane. I mean, we played this rehearsal gig at the Bootleg, a tiny little club on Beverly M. There were maybe 200 fans there, and they just sang every song at full volume, louder than the PA. It was such a cool
thing. That sounds annoying.
Thing. And we were terrible. we were really sloppy.
Like, I'll handle that. What am I up here for?
7 years on, when you started making this record, who knows, maybe it was 5 or 6 years after the last one, but did you find that you had changed musically at all when you guys got back together and started putting new songs out?
Yeah, we'd got a lot older.
Well, older, yeah. But I mean, because a lot your tastes can change, in the course of time. Maybe somebody gets back together and goes, well, I don't really want to make the same kinds of records we made before. Let's go in this direction. Next thing you know, it's all dubstep. What kind of conversations did you have when you first got together and started deciding what to make?
We did not make a dubstep album.
No.
Just to let you know.
We did, however, make a jazz fusion record.
All right. There you go. Finally.
That's the one we've been waiting for.
One of the things we talked about was not reinventing ourselves. I think we realized we have a strong sonic identity, and so we kind of embraced that. And part of that, because we weren't signed to a label, we were between management. There was no one even knew we were in the studio.
Right.
So it's like we can do whatever we want to do, and we just decided to do exactly who we are. And that's the kind
of
record we made.
Which is not always the decision that bands come to. A lot of times bands will say, I don't want to do stuff that sounded like we used to do. But then you're in a different situation because you took, 48 years off.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was.
50, actually. 50 years.
Butch, let me ask you this question. Did it ever occur to you an objective opinion of what the band was doing musically? Were you able to wear two hats with no problem?
No, I mean, we made this, basically the four of us and our engineer, Billy, and just locked ourselves in a studio. No one really even heard any music at all until we were pretty much done most of the recording. Then we finally started playing some rough mixes.
What do you know about producing, seriously?
Well, the cool thing in this band is, I sometimes wear two hats, but in Garbage I wear more of a musician and a songwriter hat, and all four of us make production decisions.
Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, if you saw in the studio we record in is about half the size of your room here. It was really tiny. So the four of us were at this little table, and anytime there was a part or an arrangement or a decision, we would just look at each other and talk it out and figure it out. So it was cool because you couldn't escape into a large room somewhere and not be involved in the process.
Now, is your set on stage a tiny little room that you're all crammed into?
No, well, some of the stages have been small. Hopefully they're going to get a little bit bigger.
We had a lot of people from K-Rock went to those El Rey shows and said that they were just fantastic. I mean, you guys know when you do a great gig. Were those gigs that you walked away from and went, wow, this is as great as I remembered it?
No.
No, was it like that for you?
Did you feel like that?
No, because, I mean, we literally hadn't played in 7 years. So, of course, we came off the stage as usual, sort of picking it apart and going, oh, my God.
Could have done this better.
Yeah, I could have done that better. Yeah. Oh, my God, I forgot, you know, this intro and blah, blah, blah.
Interesting.
Yeah, but we had fun. I mean, the fans were incredible. So
they're so happy. People are so happy that you're back.
They are happy. Do you blame them?
Not at all.
Not at all. We are too. Believe me, we are too. Well, we're going to take a break right now. Shirley and Butch are here from the band Garbage. The record is coming out on May 15th. We'll talk some more about Not Your Kind of People. And we are going to world premiere yet another new song from Garbage. Kevin, this one's called Control. Is that the one we picked up?
Yep. I believe so, yes.
Control. Never heard anywhere before, and it's going to be next in more of our conversation with the band Garbage right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Kevin and Bean Show.
Now, I'm going to play you some music just to make you forget all your troubles.
K-Rock.
Only it's going to be brand new music.
Yes.
Garbage.
Yes.
How about that?
Butch Vig is here. Shirley Manson is here from the band Garbage. Of course, they are on the bill for the Weenie Roastie Fiesta this Saturday. By the way, Shirley gave some great advice on the Garbage Twitter following, which is to check the set list because the band is playing early on Saturday because they got to get on a plane and get the hell out of the country. So don't get there late assuming they'll be playing at the end because they're not. New music, Not Your Kind of People is the name of the album. This song is called Control. What do you guys want to tell us about it before we hear it for the first time anywhere?
Well, you've got the devil on one shoulder, mm-hmm. and you got the angel on another shoulder. So you're going to flip a coin. Which way are you going to fall?
Are you going to come my way, or are you going to go Butch's way?
So you're saying you're the angel.
I'm the angel.
Uh-huh. Wait a second. I'm not the devil.
That's what she was insinuating. I'm just saying.
All right. Well, let's hear this. This is called Control. Again, Not Your Kind of People is the name of the album, available on May 15th. Garbage. Brand new stuff here on the World Famous Camera.
Might end, the night might fall, rain on down and cover us all, and drown us with the burdens of our sins. Maybe I'll look you in the eye, tell you you don't wanna die. Maybe I'll hold my breath and jump right in. Maybe I'll hold my breath and jump right in.
Yeah.
Find Your Garbage on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:29.
Very exciting. Even Shirley, I think you mentioned it's always fun to hear your song on the radio for the first time,
you
right?
You never get tired of it. No. It's always really exciting.
What was that? Cool. What was that production that you used that made it sound like she was singing through a fan? There at the end of that.
Well, that was actually, cool. we tried. Shirley did that in the studio. We actually have some footage of her singing through a fan. It goes like that when you sing. Yeah,
that's why I said it. But I was just joking.
No, we actually tried it. We tried some pretty crazy things.
Sadly, we weren't joking.
Wow, what a surprise!
It is funny. It is funny, Butch, and I'm sure in your long producing career and a career as an artist, you've seen some pretty ghetto things used in a studio to make sound. Is there something hilarious to me about studios that could be $1 million worth of equipment there, and yet you're still, you know, banging on a coffee can sometimes to get the sound you want?
Yeah, putting mics in buckets of sand, things like that. It's not always about getting a pristine sound. It's part, you know, a lot of times it's about getting a vibe, and sometimes you have to screw with things to get it so it sounds interesting.
What expert did you bring in to play harmonica on that? Who did you reach out to
Well, my six-year-old daughter has a harmonica, and she walks around the house tooting, and she left it down in my home studio. And when we were working on the song one morning, I picked it up and just started blowing. I can't really play harmonica. The part is dead simple, so anybody could probably figure it out. But I didn't think we would actually use it, and then we left it in the song. We mixed it.
It doesn't sound like you're taking very good care of what's going on. Then I laid down the track of harmonica, and it sounded all right.
Then Shirley sang into a fan. I thought that was fun. You're not taking this show seriously.
What are you guys doing?
Exactly.
You know, we made this record kind of guerrilla style. Our engineer Billy has a little studio in Atwater Village. It's tiny. Like, it's half the size of your studio here. But we did some at my home, like Shirley said, on my couch in my I have a bedroom studio. It's a tiny little 10x12
room. It really is like you were starting over.
It really is like you were starting
for the first time.
And a lot of the vocals are first takes with just handheld mics. And my daughter would go to school. I would come down and do drums in my pajamas in the morning. And
sweet.
It was fun. I mean, as we said earlier, there was no pressure, no time constraints or anything. So we kind of just approached it, whatever. You know.
Do you
happens.
Wear your pajamas on stage as well?
No, not yet.
I love a good old pajama look. I've got to say, I always think it looks cool.
It depends on who it is.
Not necessarily.
Now, you guys were gone. I'm sure you were all very busy. It's not like you sat around for 7 years. I mean, you all have lives and did other things.
I sat around.
You did sit around. Okay. But you got married and you moved to America. I mean, you had some things going on in your world, right, Shirley?
I just sat around on the couch in my pajamas waiting for 7 years.
Just waiting for a call.
Looking at a phone.
I saw someone that looked like you on that Terminator series. I know that. She looked just like you.
So my question is, was it so fun that now you'll do what you have to do for Not Your Kind of People, and then you're looking forward to hibernating again, and they're going to have to pull you out of the cave in another 7 years to do this one more time?
We probably won't be alive in another 7 years, catch us while we're young.
Wow, yeah. Don't say that.
I heard you have 35 other songs that you at least started.
Yeah, we probably wrote about 26 songs, and we're kind of in love with all of them, so at some point we want to get them out, whether we have bonus tracks or give them away free on our site or whatever. A lot of them have to be mixed still, but I think now that we're recording again and out playing shows, the chemistry is good between us. We're all really having a lot of fun, and there's not going to be a kind of break before.
Was it true that there was infighting amongst the band that sort of was brought on by all the pressure and the record company and all that kind of stuff? If they are not interested and you guys are having trouble making, was it true that the infighting are...
It wasn't fighting. We don't fight. We just don't speak to each other.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's a form of fighting.
Yeah, yes, it's passive aggressive.
Passive aggressive, yeah.
I mean, we were kind of burned out, too, because we had done 4 records and 4 long tours. And all of us need to sort of reclaim our own lives, our own space. That's part of what the break was, too. And I honestly thought it would be about 2 years, and all of a sudden it stretched into 7 years, just like that.
Poor Shirley sitting on the couch in pajamas just
checking
waiting.
My phone.
Eating bonbons.
Eating bonbons and Cheetos.
Right. Well, we couldn't be more excited to have you playing the Weenie Roast eFiesta this Saturday. I guess the last time we did the research, the last time you guys played the K-Rock Weenie Roast was 1996.
Oh, come on.
God.
That's what it says here, 1996. That seems hard for me to believe, too, it's been that long.
Oh, because it was in Land Invasion we did last time.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes, that's right. Wow. 1996. So apparently now that garbage is is playing. We also have to extend the invitation to the Verve Pipe, wow. Goldfinger, and Lush, and the Fugees, because they were also on the bill with you that
the
year.
The Fugees were on right before us or right after us.
Yeah, do you remember the Fugees? Yeah. We had to turn the stage on.
I remember.
Remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
They had that one hit. What was it? What was the hit, Bean? Killing Me Softly?
Killing Me Softly.
Yes.
Killing Me
Softly was one hit. But that was the hit at the time.
But they showed up super late.
Yeah.
And then by the time they finally got to doing that song, they turned. We had literally turned the stage on the only song people knew by then.
I remember that. They were pissed.
Yeah, they were really
pissed.
I'll bet
they were.
That was the year that Kiss headlined, by the way, too. Also.
And,
That was a reunion. Like, they were reunited for the first time.
That was the beginning of their reunion tour back in makeup, exactly.
And that's
right.
Also the night that Bean's wife's hair caught on fire from the Kiss.
From the pyrotechnics.
Oh, my God. Yes, Michael Jackson style. Her hair went out.
It was quite a night.
Well, it was quite a night.
It's going to be a little different this Saturday because you guys are on the bill with Coldplay, with Incubus, The Offspring, who, by the way, we've heard amazing things from their new record. They're going to be so great on Saturday. Silver Sun Pickups, Pennywise, Angels and Airwaves, The Dirty Heads. And then we also have some younger bands, too. AWOL Nation, Group Love of Monsters and Men, and Walk the Moon. So it's a great day out on Saturday, Cinco de Mayo. So, again, you think you guys go on, what, around 3 o'clock or so, right?
Three or four.
Yeah. Okay.
Really early.
And Not Your Kind of People is the new album. It's, again, available on May 15th via your own independent label. And we should just keep in touch with you at Garbage.com or on Twitter at Garbage or Facebook at Garbage as well. Welcome back, kids. So great to see you, and we'll see you again this weekend.
Thank you.
Right.
How fun was that? How much do you love those kids in Garbage? Come on.
Love them.
How much? Those kids are great.
Those kids.
Shirley.
Yeah, put on a show. Hey, my dad's got a barn.
Ralph, come on, kids. Still have your mad crush on Shirley?
Oh, of course.
You
don't,
doesn't?
You don't lose that.
She's awesome.
She's spectacular. She's beautiful and
she's
smart
so
and talented.
And Butch, who's one of the biggest stars in the history of music, is still the nicest, most down-to-earth, friendly, fun guy you ever want to meet. Just great, great people. So excited about them. Saturday at the Weenie Rose. Keep listening for your chance to win your tickets and backstage passes in about 15 minutes. Right now, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Sounds a little slapdash to me, quite frankly.
Slapdash?
Yeah, Butch's whole method of making music. Yeah. I don't know. Threw some sand in a trash can and put a mic in there, and then my kid plays harmonica, and I drum in my PJs, and I threw it together. I don't know. Happy 7 years. See you later. Bye. Hey, have a little effort.
That's right.
Damn. All right. Let's talk about show business. Before I get showbiz news, I do want to remind people that Kevin Smith and I are going to be down in Solana Beach, California next Tuesday. We'd love to have you come down for our Hollywood Babylon show at the Belly Up in Solana Beach. People often ask, why don't you come down the south, beyond the
Mexico? Talk like Mexico?
Beyond the Orange Curtain. And so we're heading down into deep into Orange County. So you can see us then. And tomorrow night, I'm at the Improv in Hollywood.
Hollywood Improv.
With something called Comics on Comics, which is comedians and comic book professionals getting together to talk about comic books.
That might make comic books interesting.
See what we've done there? So you can check that out at the Improv in Hollywood tomorrow night if you want to come out and see us. All right, enough about me. Linda Evangelista, supermodel extraordinaire. She had a baby with a very rich dude named François-Henri Pinault. He's rich, but that doesn't mean she gets to hold him up at gunpoint.
Of course it does.
Does it?
Of course.
RadarOnline.com is reporting today she is asking him a settlement for the child custody arrangement to give her a new house and $46,000 a month in child support.
Whoa.
A year. You said a month.
A month.
$46,000.
A month.
$46,000 a month. At some point, doesn't some judge somewhere look at that and go, isn't that a little bit for you?
He's a 5-year-old boy named Augie, and I think I think someone should pull Augie aside and say, what do you need $46,000 a month for?
But that's never how they decide those things. They look at it as a percentage of what the person is earning, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
just
but,
like with alimony. Nobody needs $100 million
there?
Walk-away money,
I don't
but
think
if your husband
limits.
Has $200 million, you get $100 million.
No,
doesn't
no,
whether you need it or
but
not.
But that is that they assume is maintaining you in a style with which you've become accustomed because of the amount of money that you had in your marriage.
I can
see some sort of mathematical formula for that. But for a kid, you could get him diamond shoes.
Yeah.
to wear to school, and you'd be hard-pressed still to spend $46,000 a month on a five-year-old.
This isn't alimony. This is just child support.
Yes.
Wow.
You could have him, get him an Elmo made out of human skin, and I don't think it would cost $46,000. Nor do I think he'd want to play with that especially.
I don't.
But I'm just saying, these are the kind of things you could get for that kind of money.
That's bullshit.
Oh, you're making up there. Human skin Elmo. I'm going to market that. See if people at Sesame Street be interested.
Good luck with that.
For the Christmas season. I think it made quite the toy. Paul Hogan, remember him? That's not a knife.
Oh,
this is a knife, sir. Crocodile Dundee.
Mm-hmm.
He's finally settled his 8-year tax battle with the Australian tax authorities. They claimed he owed $156 million in unpaid taxes and penalties.
What? How is that possible?
At one point, he was the biggest export in Australia.
What?
But still, there's no way you make enough money to owe $156 million in taxes.
I do not know about the Australian tax code over there.
Is it 150%?
It does seem
or maybe they just started adding crazy fees on, and he's been past due by 25 years
or
something.
Oh, that could be.
Yeah, his film in '86. That's when Crocodile Dundee came out. Made $325 million worldwide.
Right, of which the movie company takes most. I would imagine.
Actually, he produced that film himself.
Oh no,
yeah. So he made a lot of money.
All right,
and then the sequel made about half that, and then the third. Did you know there was a third?
No.
Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles?
No.
Did you know that?
that didn't exist.
That just made about $40 million. So
still,
but he's made a lot of money over the years. But he couldn't leave the country because of the tax problems.
Really?
Australia!
He's got a house here in Los Angeles that he hasn't been able to visit in years because of the problems. So apparently it's all settled and done. They've made some sort of agreement. No word on what the actual negotiated amount is, but it's considerably less, people are speculating, than $156 million.
Yeah. But he doesn't have to make any more Crocodile Dundee movies, right?
I bet he does. He better now to pay for that.
4, 5, and 6 on the way.
I can't wait. I want to see Crocodile Dundee and Riverside. I want to see
every different city.
Every different city.
Las Vegas.
Buying meth. That's not meth. This is meth. Scarlett Johansson. Congratulations to ScarJo. She's getting her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning. In case you wanted to go, there's still time. 11:30 a.m.
Bean, you'll be speaking at that, right? After that $7,500 bill,
I certainly have earned the right.
That auction that you paid and then didn't go?
Outside Madame Tussauds Wax Museum at 6931 Hollywood Boulevard. That's where her star will be. So you can go there and check her out and wish her congratulations for her star.
She's pretty good in this Avengers.
She's great in the Avengers.
Yeah.
I thought she was terrific.
Kicks ass.
Very opening. She sort of owns the movie. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Christine Baranski. She is a huge Broadway star, has been in films like Bowfinger. You ever see that with Steve Martin and Eddie Murphy?
Yes.
Steve Martin's the low-budget movie producer.
All I remember is Eddie Murphy running across the traffic. Right?
It was his look-alike cousin. It
was his look-alike cousin.
His twin cousin who did Oh, save me, Jesus, save me. I love that film. She's also in The Good Wife on CBS. She's 60 years old today. Dwayne The Rock Johnson turns 40 years old. David Beckham is 37 years old today. So he should be in the prime of his soccer career then, right?
He's actually still playing really well.
He should be injury-free this season,
well,
right?
He's not
injury-free,
expecting. He's playing pretty well.
He plays about two out of every games
That's
out of every
incorrect,
season.
Incorrect,
right?
Sir.
Does he have a comment, Ralph? What is David Beckham saying about this?
I really have to stay healthy this season. I think I'll be able to do a great job helping the whole team. And we're looking forward to bending it like me.
Jenna Von Oy is 35 years old today. Ellie Kemper celebrates her 32nd birthday. She's on The Office. And Lily Allen, she's adorable, 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Dr. Drew on the program. We have a brand-new internet roundup for you. We have from The Avengers, which I saw last night. I got to go to an advanced screening. It's fantastic. We have Clark Gregg, who is Agent Phil Coulson.
Yes.
He's been in every movie since what? Since Iron Man?
Every one of the Marvel movies, yeah.
We have Bear Grylls. Who's going to be in here?
He's a superhero, right? He's in the Avengers?
No, he's Man vs. Wild.
Oh,
yeah. And we have Chloe Moretz from Dark Shadows on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show, along with your tickets in the pit for the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta, all tomorrow morning on a brand new Kevin and Bean.